Starting another week, John Murphy with Steve Tasker getting ready for our show.
Individual game tickets go on sale tomorrow. We want to know which home game do you have to see this year.
At 1 o'clock, our buddy Greg Cosell from NFL Films joins us for a comprehensive breakdown of the Bills' entire draft class.
Also, one of the seventh-round draft picks, Austin Prohl, is going to join us today as well. One Bills Live starts now.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone, touchdown, touchdown.
Here we go. One Bills Live. Another week begins. Good afternoon. Welcome to Orchard Park, New Era Field in our One Buffalo studio. John Murphy alongside my broadcast partner, Steve Tasker. Good afternoon, Steve. Welcome. Welcome to a new week, man.
Yeah, man.
You
Let's
ready?
Go.
You got a full week in front of you this week. We're excited.
I got a wide landing area this week. It's going to be awesome.
We got a full week of shows starting today. It's an interesting week here at One Bills Drive. We'll talk a lot about this, but the veterans are there now. In fact, they're just wrapping up their offseason conditioning. But everybody's pretty excited about the arrival of the rookies Thursday night and Friday on the field. I can't wait for that.
I know. It's going to be fun to see those guys come out. I'm not going to do anything, but still.
Yeah, I think you'll get a chance to. I'll tell you what. I said it last week. Looking forward to seeing Josh Allen throw it around a little bit.
I just want to see the guy throw.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see it.
Let's see it. You know, what if he sprays it all over? What if he's like ridiculously inaccurate? What do we do?
Let me think about it.
Is there a lemon law? Like when you buy a car, can you trade? No, there is not.
We're going to start backpedaling quick.
I don't anticipate that will happen. But we're here. We're here for the entire show here today, 3 hours today from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. We wrapped up our show Friday, and first thing Saturday morning, we bump into each other.
Yeah.
What about that?
We
got to make a rule. We can't go to the same spots anymore,
right?
On the weekend.
We end up bumping at a farmer's market, and I get out, I'm walking in, and I look over, and there you are.
Yeah, me and Mary, and then you and Sarah.
Yeah. And then it's funny, too.
And we both just rolled out of bed, too. It was like 7:30
in the morning.
Right,
we both looked horrible.
Yeah.
At least you did.
And I know I did.
It's all right.
In fact, I said to my wife, I said, do I really look bad? And she goes, yeah, you do.
Listen, it was early.
7:30 in the morning. I was going to get coffee.
We had something else to do that morning, so we wanted to get there because it was the opening farmer's market. So we get out. And it's funny, too, because I noticed this. You and Mary, we said hello. It was great seeing you and all that. We say hello because we've known each other for decades. You just take off. We don't say hello. We don't spend time together.
No.
We go on our little place.
We're here 3 hours. I spend more time with you than I do with any member of my family.
I know,
3 hours
a day. Same with me.
And I was happy to see you. In fact, I'll probably meet you there again this Saturday.
Yeah, it was
good.
We're there as often as we can get
there. East Aurora Farmers Market. Pretty cool place.
Yeah, it is.
It gets better, too. That's the thing. You know what I mean? When you get into September and October, that place, I will drop like $50 every Saturday morning.
Oh, and you'll come out of there
some
with
of the fresh produce
bags
and stuff.
Of produce and all that. Flour. They get flowers. Now they got other things coming in, too. Like they're selling kettle corn there every week. They got that. You got flowers, fresh, and they got the plants that, you know, people start planting, and then, you know, then when everything starts to harvest, it's like that place in like late summer.
Oh, it's the best.
It's like an anthill, man. Yeah. It's crazy.
But
it's fun.
I'll tell you what, we'll stagger. I'll take a time on Saturday mornings and you take another time.
Listen,
because the trip over each other like that, it's a little bit, I was afraid somebody might see us.
Right.
And say, well, those guys, look at them, they hang out together.
Right.
Did I ever tell you about the guy, East Aurora? I was at a drugstore in East Aurora. This is a couple months ago. This is before you're on the show, obviously. And nice young man, cashier at the Rite Aid or whatever, he kind of recognized me. And he's saying, oh, you live around here? I said, yeah, I live right, down the street a little bit over in Orchard Park, right down the road. He goes, oh, that's pretty cool. Steve Tasker lives here, too. And I said, yeah, I know that. He lives. And he goes, do you live with Steve Tasker? And I said, no, we don't live together.
Double count your change when he comes here.
Like, what do you think? Like there's one dorm where everybody that works for the Bills lives?
Right,
or what?
Right.
Yes, we're all, he's down the hall from me.
He's across the student union.
You have a good weekend, I hope, though, right?
Yeah, it was good. You know, the weather was great.
Yeah.
Squeezed in a little golf, and then we did some stuff on Saturday. Had a little volunteer stuff we did on Saturday. It was a lot of fun, and it's great. Just the wet, I love it. We have a saying in our house: your favorite season is always the next one. Because by the time you get through the first season, you're in. We all do our thing. Our lives are kind of on a cycle.
Yeah.
where, you know, the fall is the football season. You have things you do all through the fall, and then you kind of get ready for the winter. When the winter hits, we do completely different things, you know. So it's not like it is like if you live in San Diego or Texas or whatever, you do the same thing year-round.
Right.
We have a whole different life and a daily pattern for each season of the year. And in our house, it's always, you know, what's your favorite season? It's always the next one because we have so much to look forward to.
Yeah, it's tough here, though, because the winter is interminably long. And it takes so long for it to be spring.
Listen,
it's finally spring as of the last week. But it just, you know, I always feel we get shortchanged out of spring because, let's face it, Steve, it's May 7th. Within a month, we'll be thinking like it's summer.
It's muddy.
By Memorial Day, you'll think it's summer.
Winter doesn't bother. I don't care about the winter. I love the winters up here because we get out in it. You know, we got stuff to do up here. You can you get everything from ice fishing to snowshoeing to downhill skiing to cross-country skiing to, you know, the hockey games. We got so much to do. It's the time of year when it's not winter anymore, and it's not summer, and everybody else calls it spring, and it's just
it's
you
brutal.
Can't get outside, and there's nothing. You're totally done with being inside. That's the worst part of the year. It's not winter, and it's not the Buffalo winters that get you. It's the Buffalo spring.
Yeah, it's
that's
the length of the winter that gets
you. That's what all my friends, you know, everybody who, you know, that's when everybody takes their vacation. They get out of here. Yeah. They go down to Florida or whatever, Texas, West Coast or Hawaii or the Caribbean, whatever.
Right.
And they take off for a couple of weeks because they need a breather.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can't do that now. I got a real job.
I had a somewhat profitable weekend.
I don't want to hear
Kentucky Derby.
The Derby?
Yeah. And nothing outrageous, but I made a little money. And we talked about the Derby last week, right, with Parcells.
That's the thing that gets me. Parcells nailed it.
Well, he had the second place horse.
Yeah.
And that so here's what I did Saturday morning after I saw you and went to the farmer's market. I went home and probably spent an hour and a half doing homework on the Derby, you know, reading the past performance charts and seeing what other people say. Huh?
Seriously, you went like, when you say do research, where do you get? I mean, obviously,
online,
the internet.
Everything's online, yeah.
So what do you do?
Past performances.
Performances. Yeah. And you go to the Derby and they have all that stuff,
the
website.
Yeah, you can find
it. And you sit there and pull
over
that. Look at
how each one of these horses has run, how much money they've made, what races they were in, what class of competition they were up against, how they ran, who the trainer is, who the jockey is. There's hundreds of different pieces of information about each horse, even these three-year-olds that haven't, you know, run that many races.
Yeah, some of them haven't. The one hadn't run since October.
Yeah, buyer speed figures are huge. But the point is, I sat down and I identified my horse was the 11 horse, Bolt Doro. It went off, I think, at 8-1. And it was a good race to bet on. And I'm not a huge bettor. I told you, I bet on the Triple Crowns and maybe, you know, Breeders' Cup and go to the 40 every once or twice a year. It was a great race to bet on because there were no fewer than 8 horses so you could make a legitimate case this horse can win this race.
Win it.
Which meant there were high prices, you know what I mean? There was good value. So Bolt Doro looked to me like good value at 8-1. So that was my key horse, and I bet it to win. And I only bet like $70 total. That's not outrageous, right? No.
Not for a high roller like you.
Right.
It's obvious.
I only bet $70 total. I bet Bolt Doro to win. I put him in some exacta combinations, some boxes, and put him in the trifecta with 3 other horses, a 4-horse trifecta box. $2 bet. Cost $48. And the funny thing was I sort of backed into this trifecta because Bolt Doro was not in it, but the other three were. It was, you know, the 1-2-3 horse, including Justify, the heavy favorite, and it paid $265. So I was up a couple hundred bucks. Now, you know, that's not a life-changing trifecta hit. Clearly,
it's not about changing your life. It's about
being about
able
having
to say
fun.
You hit it.
Yeah, and I hit it, and it was fun. And I'll tell you what, that horse Justify is a bona fide.
It's a great
horse. I mean, in those conditions, Steve, that was as muddy and as sloppy as I've ever seen. And that horse was undaunted by that. Fought off a charge from Parcells' horse there. What was it?
Good magic.
You know, at the end. That is a bona fide horse, Justify. Really
so is Justify going to win it all?
I don't know, man.
They say that he was like 200 pounds heavier than any of those other horses in the race, too. I mean, he's a big animal.
That's a bona fide contender for a Triple Crown, no question about it. And to win in those conditions, convincingly, pulling away the way it did, running away with it.
The guy who wins the Kentucky Derby, though, is always – well, obviously, it's the only one left who can win the Triple Crown. So they all start – it's like the quarterbacks in the NFL draft. They all become better than they are just because they're in a position to be – you know, they're the only person in the position to do that. So, but I'm going to, you know, You always watch, what's the next one? There's a Preakness?
Preakness, yeah.
All right, so you watch, I got to watch the Preakness to see if he can do that. That's the only reason I watch, because I'm not a better, and I'm not a guy who, you know, like you, I can't even discern. You know, it's, these racing forms are a little bit, you go back and look at the racing forms, like, of course that horse, you know, it's always the hindsight always makes you feel like, oh, wow, that horse should have won that race.
Sometimes.
You know, a little bit of that, you know?
A little bit. Sometimes I go back and say, that didn't make any sense at all. This one made sense. Justified made sense.
Yeah.
I'll help you out for the Preakness in a couple weeks.
All right. We'll go. We'll spend a little time on that.
Yeah. You have to put time into it. Yeah. It's not – you can just pick, you know, the horse's name or close your eyes.
And I don't want to have to, you know.
Like the colors that the jockey's wearing. That's fun, too. I mean, people are into the Derby. I've noticed this over the last few years. The party aspect, the dress-up aspect of the Derby, that's grown a lot.
And because I think now it's – so many people who are distant from, like guys like me, who aren't really interested in that horse racing, don't know much about it. You see the spectacle of it and the world class of it and the fact that you got Chinese syndicates that are putting horses in. You got all these other, and they got the trainers
Dubai,
who have three or four horses
Dubai.
In it. And all these. It's kind of like, wow, it's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to kind of go down. And then you see how much fun people are having. You see them, you know, and it isn't totally American to go down there and see it. So you kind of got to. It almost has to go on the bucket list. You got to go down
there
once, right?
It's on mine.
You haven't done it yet.
Never been.
See, you're the guy, one guy I would think I have to do it once.
I have to do it. You're right.
And you haven't.
I have not done
Maybe
it.
Maybe during our tenure.
We can do the show down
We'll
there.
Do the show down
Get somebody
there.
To pay us to go to the Derby.
right.
That's the way I use
And it'll still
these
cost
things.
Us money because that's the year that when you go out and you blow it all.
Yeah, it was good. But, it was good to cash tickets.
It's yeah, and I love and it. And it stunk to a little bit because it's not one of those events like the Bills Indianapolis game here last year. There was a foot of snow on the ground. I want to see it in a nice, beautiful weather.
Yeah,
and it was pouring rain.
It was brutal.
3 inches of rain.
Yeah,
and all the ladies' hats all still look pretty good.
Yeah, well, our marketing director Shana Kirshner was there. I was talking to her this morning. Yeah, with her husband, she said the rain was amazing, just nonstop.
Yeah, it was
rain.
Like a fire hose. I heard it was like, and it couldn't. You don't really see it like on TV because they kind of the cameras and the distances they shoot, it kind of takes it out of it.
Never stopped.
It never stopped.
Brutal. Hey, we're here to talk football, obviously. NFL football, Bills football. It might not be so obvious after the first 12 minutes.
Obviously.
But Steve and I are here until 3, so we have time to broaden out a little bit, expand out a little bit. And the one thing we want to talk about is the fact that tickets go on sale. Individual game tickets for the Bills games go on sale tomorrow. Did you know that? 12 noon tomorrow. Individual game tickets go on sale tomorrow online. However, and this is a good deal, if... It started right now. If you are a member of, if you're associated with the My One Buffalo app, you can buy individual game tickets right now. Use the My One Buffalo
started
app.
Started at noon, same time the show did.
Yeah,
a few minutes ago. You can go on the One Bills app and buy the tickets nobody else can buy or the general public can't buy because they don't have the app.
You get a one-day head start. If you've downloaded the My One Buffalo mobile application, you can take advantage of an exclusive pre-sale offer. Pretty easy to go to BuffaloBills.com and download the My One Buffalo app, and then you get to buy tickets already right now. The pre-sale ends tomorrow at 10 a.m., and then individual game tickets go on sale tomorrow to the general public.
After finishing the week last week about, you know, with a strong showing of the Twitter poll, we decided to go online, and because of this game ticket thing, we decided to ask which home game everybody's got to watch, got to see this year. And it's interesting, the take on, we thought there'd be a couple, you know, we've already got some people that are tweeting replies at us about it, and then the Twitter poll is which home game you got to see, and we put up there, it was the home opener against the Chargers, of course, and then in Monday Night Football against the Patriots, 60% or 58% of the people now think it's the Patriots game, and then, of course, the Jaguars, who put the Bills out of the playoffs last year. Home opener is always great because you can kind of count on pretty good weather. People love to go out there. It's a beautiful summer day, and you get to watch fall football. But Monday Night Football, we kind of figured that would do it. But I also have – I like people's reasoning. And we got a tweet. One of the guys, he said, listen, I got to see the Bears this year, which I'm like, why? Why do you got to see the Chicago Bears? And he says, because, and his reasoning was, I want to make sure I see every team in the National Football League play in Orchard Park. And he goes, he's down to 4 teams, and the Bears are one of the 4 teams he has not got a chance to see play in Orchard Park. So he's going to go for that reason to the Bears game. I thought that was interesting. You know how long you got to be watching Bills games in Orchard Park to catch every one of the 32 teams?
Yeah, well, like in the Bears case, so the Bills play in what, every 4 years?
Yeah.
And maybe they play home. Maybe they play. Maybe you could go 8 years without seeing the Chicago. I mean, how long did it take for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to play a home game here or to play a game here in Buffalo?
Oh, it took decades.
Yeah.
That was back even then before the scheduling was the way it was.
Yeah.
And for a long time, the Bills weren't very good and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers weren't very good. And you never cross paths with them on the out of conference scheduling. So I thought that was an interesting take on a guy who's trying to see every one of the 32 teams. You know, you talk about going to the 32 stadiums or away games, you know, and people may put that on their bucket list when they want to travel with the team. How about seeing every team in the league at home?
That's ambitious.
That is ambitious. It takes a lot of commitment.
Want to hear from you on the phones, if you like, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Which of the home games, now, as we said, individual game tickets up for sale tomorrow for everybody. If you subscribe to the My One Buffalo app, you can do it right now. We suggest you do that. Which of the home games, which Bills home games do you most want to see and why? Give us a call. Tell us why. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Yes, we figured the Patriots would be number one on that list.
And the Jaguars as well. Tiffany Daniels says, I got to be the Jaguars. They knocked us out of the playoffs last year, and Doug Marrone is my least favorite coach of all time. I want to see him pout off the field after the Bills beat the Jaguars. That's a little revenge factor. You knew there'd be a lot of that, seeing as how the Bills broke the drought, got to the playoffs, went down to Jacksonville, and lost a close game to the Jaguars and to a former coach, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and Doug Marrone. There's a little revenge there.
I can see that.
No question.
A tweet from Aaron Quinn. I'm going to the game against the Bears, hopefully. Falls on the same week as my wife's due date, he says. But my older brother is a Bears fan, and he's coming up to go. Last time he and I went to a game together, Travis Henry scored on a screen pass in overtime to beat the Bears. Great day. You know what strikes me, Stephen? We're only a couple of these into it. What, three tweets we've read?
Right.
People have a good, legitimate, sometimes I don't know how to describe it. Just like there's a reason why people go to certain games, is what I'm trying to say. And sometimes it's just, you know, sentiment, you know, like, hey, last time I went, my brother was with me. He's a Bears fan. You know what I mean?
And, yeah.
Or Jaguars, you know, I don't want to go, or I want to go because I want to see Doug Marrone lose and walk off the field unhappily. But I love the fact that people are so attached to it that it'd be easy to say, well, Monday Night Football, Patriots. And that should be the one, I would think.
Sure.
The most attractive. But there are other games, too, on the schedule that I like the fact that people kind of think about it a little bit. You know?
Well, plus, too, you see that it's a game that the one you just read from Aaron Quinn, his wife's due.
Yeah.
See, and people in Buffalo get this. You're going to go to a Bills game, and something happens in your family, and you're going to remember it because of the Bills game was attached to it. And then when this baby that's due gets to go to his first Bills game, that's going to be another Bears game. You know, his first game will be another Bears game. But then you got to be careful because you run the risk of the kid becoming a Bears fan if his life is associated with that opponent. But that's what it is. It's part of the fabric of everybody's lives here in Buffalo, and they attach family events and fun times, and they have fun memories of being at a specific game against a specific opponent. And from that time on, that specific opponent becomes a hallmark for them and their family. It's kind of cool to think about that.
Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Which Bills home game would you most like to see this year? Let's take a call here. Ian in Buffalo. Go ahead, Ian. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys? Longtime fan, Steve, obviously. This year, obviously, it's the New England Monday night. That's going to be awesome. Hopefully, it's a good season so that stadium's loud. I've been a season ticket holder forever in the Van Miller. So a lot of good memories. The Fred Jackson flag, we finally beat New England field goal, is probably one of my favorites. But I want to also say I was on Josh Rosen's side. Just went and bought a Josh Allen jersey 5 minutes ago. All in. I'm really hoping this kid does well. And I'll hang up. And thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it'll take time for some people to get off the draft and what could have been and should have been, and they'll think back. They'll continue to think back about who they wanted and who they didn't get. And people still do it in past drafts here in Buffalo, that, you know, success or lack of success and who they could have and should have drafted. But for a lot of people, you know, once the guy puts on the red helmet or the white helmet, it doesn't take him too long to jump on board with him.
You know what else I think has happened, Steve, and we're, what, a week and a half since the first day of the draft, that Thursday night. What was that? April 26th.
27th.
And now the story comes out around the league. Every team, almost 32 stories come out about how the draft played out. We did it on our website, BuffaloBills.com. Chris Brown had an extensive interview with Brandon Bean. And teams do that, you know. And the general managers and coaches are, after the fact, are more willing to kind of be open about what their thought was, who they liked. I came across this with the Giants. Pat Shurmur, the Giants head coach. And it's indicative to me of how when the real story comes out and the real football decision makers talk, maybe you get a different sense of the Bills pick. For instance, Pat Shurmur interviewed in New York last week during their rookie minicamp, or maybe just their part of their offseason program. But Pat Shurmur said, if they got Saquon Barkley, right? We know that, second pick. If Barkley was gone, Bradley Chubb would have been the pick. The assumption that if the Giants were adamant about taking a quarterback, it would have been Sam Darnold, is faulty. And this is the writing in the New York Post. In fact, Pat Shurmur preferred Josh Allen, believing he had the most upside. This is surprising, the writer goes on to say, based on his assessment of why he likes Kyle LaLetta. He said arm strength is about fourth on his list. But Allen has the strongest arm, displayed the worst accuracy of the top prospects. But Shurmur would have taken him ahead of Josh Rosen. I guess my point is, now that the draft is over, and now that coaches and GMs, and we heard it last week about who was it, heartbroken that, the Arizona Cardinals. Now that coaches and GMs are more comfortable to speak their mind with the draft over, right. No more competitive considerations, you hear more and more people talk about how Josh Allen was their guy. Shurmur said it was Josh Allen, not Josh Rosen, that he would have liked for the Giants.
The Cardinals saying
they were heartbroken, at least reportedly heartbroken, that Josh Allen was gone.
Right. And some of it, though, I mean, you won't get a true sense of what they really felt because they don't want to belittle the guy they actually had to pick, you know, right. Particularly in the case of it was the same position like Darnold and Rosen and Allen and Mayfield. But it does come out sooner or later,
yeah.
Because what happens, even if it's 3 or 4 years down the road, because guys switch teams and then they don't care if you find out what happened to the other team.
Right.
So it's always fun to hear that stuff when it comes out. And it's very telling too about the true sense of the fact that it's a human decision and there is no absolutes. I mean, these guys are all question marks.
But you know what else you got to be ready for? If, let's say, Josh Allen or one of these other guys stumbles, doesn't turn out well, those coaches, those GMs will be more than happy to throw him under the bus. Well,
yeah.
We knew that coming out.
Yeah,
that we didn't like him because
and
that's the way
that.
It is.
So yeah.
We understand that.
You talk about this and how it pertains to what we're talking about. Think about the games that the Bills are going to play next year here at home, and this is the Twitter poll that we're talking about. Bring it up. What if Josh Allen starts on opening day and Sam Darnold starts on opening day, and it's the first time here where you're going to get a chance to see those two guys play against each other of what could be a Marino-Kelly type of duel? You kind of want to be there the first time.
Sure.
You see it, right?
Oh, yeah, that'll change. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think any of these guys, or most of them, are going to start on opening day. There's always a chance that they will. But, you know, these teams are all different. We had this thing on last week, the Twitter poll, about which one was going to start first and
right.
Which one would actually start on opening day. Not which one would start first, but which of them had a better chance of starting on opening day. And to think about how long some of these guys may be in the National Football League and how many times they may come to this stadium and get a chance to see them and a chance to get play against the Bills or for the Bills. It's pretty intriguing about the games coming up.
You know what else about the Buffalo schedule, which I think plays into our Twitter poll, and again, our Twitter question is, with the tickets going on sale, individual game tickets going on sale starting tomorrow, My One Buffalo app holders can do it today, but which game would be number one on your list? I'm surprised more people don't say the opener against the Chargers. I know it's the Chargers, not a traditional rival of the Bills, but with what? Five out of the first seven games, or what is it, four out of the first five games, road games?
Yeah, you're not going to see them
the
first 2 months.
Them.
Yeah.
I think the opener would be really attractive if you're interested in the Bills, and I know many people are, most people are. I would think you'd want to go out there to see them, their first
right.
home appearance, right? Coming off the game at Baltimore, first game home, weather likely to be good. I would think you that would be an attractive game. Let's hear from you. The
yeah.
phone line's open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. One more from the tweet sheet. This is from Luis Estrada. We asked the question, which home game is most attractive to you? Luis Estrada tweets in, Patriots Bills, because that's the one I already have tickets. Good reasons. He says, see you October 29th, Mr. Murphy. We'll be there. You don't know your schedule yet, your CBS schedule, right?
I do not.
You'll get some Bills games, right? You usually do.
Yeah, I mean, I might. See, here's the thing. I'm on a different crew this year.
Yeah.
So there's a pecking order, and this crew that I'm working for on the sidelines with Kevin Harlan and Rich Gannon, they're a little higher on the pecking order, obviously, than I was.
Yeah, okay.
So it's hard to pick out their games. I'm not sure, you know, I got to go back and kind of get a feel for the games that they're going to get in the first month of the season. Then we'll be able to go down the rest of the schedule and kind of guess. But they do give these guys a short lease. I mean, they may give them the first two or three, four games maybe. And then if you do one, then they'll give you the fifth game. And you do another one, they'll give you the sixth game. So they keep it, like, fluid until about a month out. And then they kind of hone in on it, and you kind of get an idea of what games you're going to get. But I have no idea what kind of games these guys get. I know Rich is – they have – Kevin Harlan's one of the most widely listened to play-by-play guys around.
One of the best.
You hear him everywhere, particularly in basketball season, even in the NBA playoffs. So, you know, the problem is if you start getting West Coast games, then I got to leave, you know – 12 hours earlier to make sure I get out there at the time I'm supposed to get there. But that's just – nobody cares about how much you try, right? That's just me.
We do. We want you to be here.
Yeah, I'll be here. I believe me, it's all worked out.
Okay.
I'm going to be here Monday through Friday for you, Murph.
Well, that'll be a first.
This week will be a first. Yeah. And then – but, you know how it is. You travel. It's different for you. You're the voice of one team.
I know my schedule.
Right. Your schedule, you can start chipping it in stone right now. But for the rest of us, and you know, then it's flights and
we'll
connections
you.
And oh gosh, it's horrible.
Talking about the schedule, individual game tickets go on sale tomorrow. If you're a My One Buffalo app holder, you can do it today. But give us a sense if you're buying a game to just if you're buying a ticket to just one game, one Bills home game this year, which one would it be? 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. Steve and I rolling along here from One Bills Drive. We've got, I didn't even tell you what's coming up on the show, did I? Greg Cosell from NFL, why do I always say that? NFL Films. Greg Cosell with NFL Matchup, ESPN NFL Matchup, joins us at 1. We want to get his take on the entire draft class for the Buffalo Bills. And Bills' seventh-round pick, Austin Prohl, the wide receiver, is going to join us at 1:30. In the meantime, we'll talk a lot about the schedule and which ticket is most valuable to you for the Bills home schedule. A break here. We're back with more. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with John Murphy. We've been talking about what's been going on with the schedule and which game you have to see. That's our Twitter poll. We've been talking about what people and why people go to certain games. Kind of turned into a little interesting conversation. We didn't anticipate that, but
no,
when you get
like
into
it.
Why people get into go to games and specific games, it really opens up, well, in this case, 75,000 different answers. I mean, you got people in Buffalo. You and I know, Murph, we have friends who come to Bills games, and they've got, like, this ritual for a Bills home game at 1 o'clock where it starts, like, on a Friday. And they do stuff throughout the weekend and getting ready for the game. They show up to the game at a certain time. They park in the same space. They party with the same people. They know their surrounding seatmates. And then you get a guy that calls in and says, listen, I'm going to the Jets game in December. He says, because it's the first Bills home game I have ever been to in my 30 years of being a Bills fan. And you get a guy like that.
Yeah.
That's wild.
We got a tweet from Timothy. He says he's going to the Monday night game against New England October 29th because I've never been to a night home game. I tried to say this first half hour, and it was sort of came out in an inarticulate fashion. I love the way people personalize their reasons for picking certain games. It's one thing. We threw the Twitter poll together about an hour and a half ago, and we're saying, well, everybody's going to say the Patriots game, of course. Because like you said, we're used to dealing with people who go to every game or go to six or eight games.
Like,
I can pick
whatever game I want to, but the one I really got to see is I'm going to make sure I have those tickets or whatever, you know.
But I love the fact that people personalize it because, you know, my brother and I went to the Bears game 5-6 years ago because I've never been to a Monday night game. You know what I mean? You never think of that.
My wife's due. Yeah. My son was born. You know, I mean, one of my kids was born, you know, 7 or 8 days before the first Super Bowl. And I got to tell you, I love him dearly. He's a great kid. But I don't think about him when I think about that Super Bowl. You know? It's just...
You don't think about him at all?
No.
He went with you. Which son?
Luke.
So Luke,
the one that's playing pro football in Canada.
Where did he... Where'd you go?
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
So yeah, it was the first Super Bowl.
And he was there, and you had no time
He made
for
the
him.
Trip. In fact, it was a big deal. I mean, I don't know if anybody wants to hear if this is this interesting, but when he was born, we scheduled it. It was induced labor because he was due on Super Bowl weekend. And my wife, we didn't even have the conversation because she knew, honey, I won't be there. You know, I'm going to be at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So we said, okay, and she goes, let's not have that conversation because it's going to take us to a dark place. So
she's right.
Right. So we talked to the doctor. So they induced him before the championship game against the Oakland Raiders. And then it was like, can he travel? And I went to Bill Polian, and you know, Bill was like, Bill was great. He was always in for us. You know, the players, you know, he was like, if I can do it, I will do it for you guys because you're playing good. You know, right. And he goes, well, we'll just make sure that your pediatrician is on the flight. So he sat my pediatrician for this newborn right next to my wife on the family and friends charter flight. And as a result, the pediatrician saw like six kids on game day. Yeah, he saw like he literally had six or seven off. So from that time on, that pediatrician, my friend, he's a pediatrician here in Orchard Park, went to all four Super Bowls for that reason. That's and great. It turned into a
Working
thing.
Vacation. That's great.
Right. Right. So – no, I don't. But everybody has their reasons for picking games, and I'm just saying that, you know, everybody picks them for different reasons. And my kids were never the reason I remember that game.
Yeah.
I feel like a total loser.
Well, you wouldn't get away with that nowadays,
right? But it's interesting because it's Joey Domingo. Joey Domingo. He texts in. He says he's going to the one in December, and that'll be the first home game he's ever seen. And he's been a Bills fan for 30 years.
That's cool.
It really is kind of cool. Do you think about it?
Give us your thoughts. The phone line's open, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Which Bills home game would you most like to see? You can buy individual game tickets. Everybody can starting tomorrow at noon. Right now you can start and buy them at if you're a member of the – if you have the My One Buffalo app. A tweet from Dwayne Smith. The playoff rematch is really interesting. These two teams have a similar makeup. Hard-hitting, physical game, good coaches. I'm excited. So he's talking about the game against Jacksonville when the Jaguars come to town. I guess if that playoff game had been better, I could see why people – that might be the number one game, right? It was 10-3. The Bills never found the end zone.
10-3.
If that game had been a decent – it was not a good game. If it had been a decent game last January 7th, okay, I would have said that's number one, but it's just hard. I mean, not that the Bills can't compete with them. They can, I will bet $1,000 it won't be 10-3 again next time they play here this year. But, man, that's a tough game. That's a tough game to want to see the rematch, I think.
Right. I get it. And, yeah, you got to put your – you know, we got people now. Dave S. tweets in. He's going because he's got his vacation planned around two consecutive Bills games. You know, the Monday night game. And then the following game, which is against I can't remember who it is, but so he's going to do his whole vacation for the year is going to be put around these two Bills games that happen within 6 days of each other. That's kind of a good reason.
Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. Can I switch gears on you a little bit, Steve?
Sure. Yeah, I'm kind of. Yeah, we can.
We talked about
think
this
about it.
in the office this morning. And I saw this a little bit over the weekend as the weekend began, and I thought, huh. And now that I read it again, we're talking about the Steelers here, Ben Roethlisberger and Mason Rudolph, their third-round draft pick. The two of them, I mean, they've yet to be on the field together, you
would
think. They
haven't met in person, as far as we know.
But there's some really bad stuff going on between them. And I don't know who started it. You know, Mason Rudolph may have started it, but Roethlisberger took it to a whole new level. The veteran, the future Hall of Fame quarterback. So Mason Rudolph said something about how he wouldn't bother Roethlisberger asking him for help.
Yeah, Mason Rudolph handled this very well. Ben is not handling it well at all. Mason Rudolph came out and they said, what about Ben Roethlisberger? And he says, are you going to look for him for help? And Mason Rudolph, I'm sure, as a young player, said, listen, I don't want to bother Ben. It's his responsibility to make he's my responsibility to learn the playbook. It's not Ben's responsibility to teach me. It's Ben, you know, meaning he didn't say this, but he meant that it's Ben's responsibility for the, you know, to help the team win. That's all he needs to think about. He doesn't have to think about helping me. And then, so Roethlisberger then starts back in on him.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't need me, does he? Right. So, well, I guess if he wants any help from me, I'll just point him to the playbook. Wow.
Well, let's hear what Roethlisberger said. We have the comments. He did it on a radio show last Friday in Pittsburgh. He was asked about Mason Rudolph's comments, and here's what Ben Roethlisberger had to say.
I was surprised when they took a quarterback because I thought that maybe in the third round, you know, you can get some really good football players that can help this team now. And nothing against Mason. I think he's a great football player. I don't know him personally, but I'm sure he's a great kid. I just don't know how, you know, backing up or being the third, who knows where he's going to fall in the depth chart, but helps us win now. But, you know, that's not my decision to make. You know, that's on the coaches and the GM and owner and those kind of things. So if they feel like he can help our team, so be it. But I was a little surprised.
Will you feel any extra or added responsibility to take him under your wing? Do you think you'll have to do that?
I don't think I'll need to now. He said that he doesn't need me. So if he asked me a question, I might have to just point to the playbook, you know?
Wow. If he asked me a question, I'll point to the playbook. Like I said, all right, maybe Mason Rudolph said the right thing, but Roethlisberger completely threw him under the bus there. Point to the playbook?
First of all, Mason Rudolph never said he didn't need Ben Roethlisberger. All he said was, it's not Ben's job to teach me. That's all he said. Means for a young kid, it's like, I'm not going to ask Ben Roethlisberger to start grooming me to take his spot. That would be unfair. It's not for me to get Ben Roethlisberger. It's not for Ben Roethlisberger, who's been there for as long as Ben has and played as well and won as many Super Bowls and won two Super Bowls, to take time out of his day to start, you know, putting me under his wing and taking care of me. It's for me to learn. I'll learn while I'm there. So Ben Roethlisberger construes that into a slap on like Mason Rudolph's going to come in and do it all himself without any help from Ben Roethlisberger. It's just, I don't know what he's – that's the worst possible way to start a relationship with a teammate.
Yeah. You know, and Roethlisberger, up until this year, Roethlisberger was dropping some pretty serious hints that he was considering retirement. And then he says in the first part of that radio interview, I was surprised when they took a quarterback. He said, in the third round, you can get some good football players that can help this team now. Surprised? You're talking about maybe retiring soon?
It was a serious conversation a year ago. It was a serious conversation about, is Ben Roethlisberger going to come back? And it was just last season. And now he says he went to the team, the coaches and the GM and or whoever, the powers that be, and said, I want to play another 3 to 5 years. This was after this last season. That's, to me, what do you think they're going to do?
They got to do something.
They're going to go with like no backup quarterback. They're not going to look at these guys. Or if I got a quarterback that drops to the third round who is right there and is above their draft grade and at a position of prominence that they need to make sure they've got covered, they're not going to cover all their bases and take him? I mean, that's crazy. And I, you know, these guys like Roethlisberger, who have played so well for so long for such a good organization and won so many games, they just – I'm telling you, Murph, I told you this last week, it rarely ends well for great ones.
You're right.
You can see this on the horizon. It's not going to end well.
Steve, you were here and playing, I believe, right, when Todd Collins was drafted, weren't you?
Yeah.
How did Jim Kelly handle Todd Collins? Was he welcoming? You just shot me a look.
No, I mean, it happened. Jim might look sideways at him.
Yes, I seem to recall that.
He's like, oh, wait a minute.
And Jim, I seem to recall Jim teased him pretty hard. Right?
He did. He rode him pretty hard.
Yes.
But he did it. He was good-natured. There's no question Jim was like looking sideways at him going, wait a minute. And then, you know, when they got on the field and Jim realized he was no threat, then it was okay, you know. But so by the same token, and let's face it, there was a couple of things going on there. And Jim's not off the hook for that either. I mean, there's no question. You got to replace the guy. You're going to be replaced as a quarterback, whether you're the best ever at your position for this team, which Jim was and still is, or you're Trent Dilfer for the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. You're going to be replaced. But if you're there, you got to handle it. You got to just know that it's going to happen, and you got to have a plan for it. And the team is not out of line for drafting a guy at any time. The Patriots draft a guy in their draft every other year, it seems like.
Yeah.
I mean, they were taking quarterbacks at an alarming rate, and they had maybe the best guy of all time, and he was only a 10-year vet, 11-year vet, 12-year vet in a prime, winning Super Bowls are going to him. So you got to get used to it, but it rarely ends well for him.
This caught my attention. USA Today, Stephen Ruiz found some quotes from Josh Dobbs, who was the Steelers draft pick a year ago, third stringer. Second year, this were his quotes about Mason Rudolph being drafted by his team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Dobbs: I know how the league works. It's another opportunity to have competition. He will be a great addition to our quarterback room. Dobbs went on to say, it's like you can't really take it personally. They're always looking for the next player. How does Josh Dobbs in his second year know that, and Ben Roethlisberger struggle with that? What do you know about Roethlisberger? What kind of a guy is he?
Well, he's a
again, you shoot me a look.
He's a superstar.
Yeah.
And those guys don't take kindly to disrespect. And they don't take kindly to brushing them out the door. They don't take kindly to anybody making inferences as to whether they can play or not. Ben Roethlisberger said last year when they struggled in the beginning of the year, and he sarcastically said, hey, maybe I don't have it anymore, when they lost a game and stuff.
Yeah.
And that went viral right away. They don't like it when people question their abilities and whether they can still win football games, because, you know, it's their job and it's what has made them great, is their ability to prove people like that wrong. So, yeah, I mean, Dobbs should get it because – he can't get on the field, and Ben Roethlisberger, you know you're going to get that kind of reaction from a guy like Roethlisberger, a guy like Dan Marino back in the day, a guy like even like Jim, and we just talked about with Todd Collins. You know, you can go down the list. None of them take it well. And I'm sure Tom Brady doesn't take it well either, particularly when you've got a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo there. And
yeah, you can argue that. Brady probably pushed him along, you know. Yes, let's trade Garoppolo. Let's get something for Garoppolo.
Well, I don't know if he did that or not, but I'll tell you this: if there was any inkling in that room or in that organization about Jimmy Garoppolo taking over for him, like in the last 3 years, Brady didn't take well to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ben Roethlisberger acted like a starting franchise all-time great quarterback acts when you draft a guy to replace him. They don't like it.
Hey, I got one call we got to take. Your story a couple of minutes ago about Super Bowl 25 and the birth of
Luke. What about it?
Mike in Buffalo has something to say about that. Hi, Mike. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
So just a really quick story. My future mother-in-law was season ticket holder, went for 30 years or whatever, and I actually knew the story, Steve, about your wife giving birth to your son just a couple days before the Super Bowl, because she had tickets to the Super Bowl, and she was the woman that was induced after your wife, and she actually got your wife's room. The way she tells it is, you know, they're cleaning her room and they're taking it out and they're wheeling her in. They've got all these gorgeous flowers from, I assume, your teammates and your friends and your family. And she's like, oh my God, what a beautiful room. And then they start taking it out. And then, you know, my future father-in-law just brought in like one pot of flowers. So Super Bowl, right before we watch, she tells that story, and that's kind of like our ritual and memorable game. So
yeah, well, I got to tell you, I don't remember. I probably got my wife flowers, but it was our third, and it was induced, and I had to get back to work. I don't know, but there were a lot of flowers in the room from everybody who is more thoughtful and genteel than I am.
You couldn't get away with that now.
And I got to tell you, I've heard 100 stories, like Mike, our caller. Everybody knows, like, Their wife gave birth the same week Sarah did. They remember the Super Bowl for that. And I feel like a total heel now for not associating that Super Bowl. I do kind of, for our family, associated with the birth of our son Luke. But, yeah.
Maybe you are a bit of a heel.
I must be. I got to do some soul searching.
Take 4 minutes and think about this. We're going to take a break. We're back with more. One Bills Live coming to you from One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio. back to One Bills Live. John Murphy and Steve Tasker. Greg Cosell coming up at 1 o'clock today. We're going to go through the Bills drafts, draft picks, even the later round ones. We talked to Greg about the two first-rounders a couple of Fridays ago, but we want to get deep into it with Greg. He's coming up after the top of the hour. We continue to talk about the Bills schedule. Individual game tickets go on sale tomorrow, and if you are if you have the My One Buffalo app, you can buy those individual game tickets now. And the question we put out there is which of those home games is most attractive? We're getting a lot of good responses on Twitter, Steve.
Yeah, and as you might anticipate, Monday Night Football is a big entry. People want to see that game because it's a night game. We don't get those too often. But El Super tweets in. He goes, Monday Night Football. He goes, I also want to see the Andy Dalton appreciation game in the preseason. Not everybody wants to go see a preseason game.
That's a Sunday afternoon.
The Andy Dalton appreciation game in the preseason. He also says every Bills fan should give a beer to a Bengals fan during the tailgate. That's a total Buffalo thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's it. We do things differently in this. Let me tell you something. I travel around. We talked about my travel with CBS. But it's different here. The Bills fans are different than they are in other places.
Could there be something? It's preseason, which I do think makes a difference. It's Sunday afternoon at 4, Bengals at Bills, August 26th. Yeah. Could the Bills, in fact, have some sort of Andy Dalton come out here at midfield before kickoff and take this plaque or take this round of applause? I mean, would we be breaking all kinds of...
I don't know.
Could you do that? Why not?
I don't know. They should exhaust... You know what? I would be surprised if the club didn't put together a video thing for the scoreboard during the third or fourth quarter to come out and say, hey, I don't know if you remember, and just run through all that, show the Bills getting to the playoffs, the video in the locker room and all of that stuff in the preseason, then acknowledge and then show Andy Dalton on the sidelines for the Bengals. I'm sure that would be appropriate.
Here's the other part of it, too. You could thank Andy and then give him the microphone for him to thank all those Bills fans who donated to his charity.
I do that post-game.
Post-game?
Do it post-game.
Why not? Why not pregame? He's going to play, you would think, preseason game number 3.
You don't want to do that pregame. Do it postgame.
We'll have time to talk about it. I think there should be something.
Absolutely. I'm totally with you. That was too big a deal. That was a league-wide story.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody was taken aback by that. And for people in Buffalo, you kind of get it. We do that stuff here in Buffalo, right? You kind of jump on with it. People who help you, you reciprocate.
You and your Sabres fans boo anybody who happened to play a couple of games with Buffalo when they come back to KeyBank Center and play, right?
You're one of those guys. Well, we're not different in every way, just in some special and super ways.
That always puzzled me. Even guys who were decent guys played for the Sabres, come back here to play for somebody else, and as soon as they touch the puck, why are you booing? I mean, the people are moving all over the league.
It's just a form of remembrance, that's all.
I think there should be something for Dalton.
I totally agree. We got to come up. We should,
Let's do it. Let's do it from our show. We'll present him something from our show. That way we're not officially the team doing it. You can get out there. I'll be busy. You can get out there right before kickoff. We'll come up with some plaque.
I won't be busy. It's a national game.
Oh, yeah. You won't have anything to do.
We got to start thinking about that because that's going to be a really cool thing.
And, again, he can take the mic and say, hey, you donated X amount of thousands of dollars for my charity. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I agree totally. Something's got to be done. And I think that's one of the reasons they have that game coming up. They plan something, right?
I hope
there's
got to
be something in the works. All this stuff takes place at a certain level in the organization with which you and I don't reach. This may all be already done and signed and written in stone, and you and I are just late to the party.
We weren't invited to that meeting, probably.
We were not in that loop.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, it is time for Hour 2 and time for Greg Cosell to go through all of the Bills draft picks for us, his comprehensive analysis of what the Bills did in the draft. That's coming up when we return. We'll have more talk about the Bills' home schedule and which home game would you most like to see. Give us a call on that, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Steve and I here till 3, One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health. We're coming to you from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. Bills veterans on the job here today, and the rookies take center stage later this week. Today, another week of off-season conditioning began for the Bills. Phase 2, on-field workouts for the entire offensive unit and then the entire defensive unit. Second week of the 3-week Phase 2. Later this week, The rookies arrive. Bills rookie minicamp runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Draft picks and the newly signed undrafted rookies hit town Thursday night for a couple of days of on-field work this weekend. Meantime, the Cleveland Browns had their quarterback Baker Mayfield on the field over the weekend for their rookie camp. The former Heisman Trophy winner spent the overwhelming majority of his college career playing from the shotgun, but over the weekend, the Browns' top pick took the bulk of his snaps during rookie camp from under center. One concern about Mayfield was his ability to run a pro-style offense from under center. Former Titan safety Michael Griffin will sign a one-day contract with the team and officially retire today. First-round pick in 2007 out of Texas, played 9 seasons with the Titans and earned 2 Pro Bowl nods, best season in 2008. NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers lead the Toronto Raptors 3-0 in the Eastern Conference semifinals. They can finish it off tonight. Game 4, home game for Cleveland, which should be in the Cavs' favor, but the Cavaliers are worried about being overconfident, and Coach Tyronn Lue is cautioning his team to be ready to play tonight. Buffalo Bisons are red hot, winners of 4 in a row. They finished off a sweep of the Syracuse Chiefs yesterday with a 6-1 win at the downtown ballpark. Now it's the Rochester Red Wings coming to town. 3-game series starts tonight at 6:05. Right-hander Sam Gavigli will be on the mound for the Herd. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker. This is One Bills Live, coming to you live from One Bills Drive. And joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a frequent guest for us, he is the executive producer and analyst for NFL Countdown on ESPN, longtime producer at NFL Films. Happy to have him on the line with us, Greg Cosell. Greg, John Murphy and Steve Tasker in Buffalo, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Oh, gentlemen, good to talk to you. Draft is done. Now we're getting ready for a season.
Yeah,
that's right. But we're still kind of interested in the aftermath of the draft and then to reevaluate, you know, how the teams did. We're talking obviously about the Buffalo Bills. And now that it's all said and done, and you saw how the order in which the quarterbacks fell and the trade ups and trade downs and all the things that happened as a result. Is there anything about the aftermath of the draft, about the stories coming about who really liked who and who really didn't like who? Anything surprise you in the aftermath of the draft?
Oh, you know, it's funny, Steve. I don't usually look at the draft as a whole because I look at it more as my evaluation of individual players and how I see them as they transition and project to the league. Obviously, every team, the players they draft, they feel good about the player they drafted at the spot at which they drafted him. That's ultimately what it comes down to for the most part. You know, once you get past a certain point in the draft, you're not necessarily taking the guy who's the guy you'd absolutely like to have, but you're drafting the guy who's there on your board and based on need. Because I think ultimately teams draft for need more than they draft best player. They tell you best player, but it's best player based on need.
Hey, Greg, before we get into some of these Bills draft picks, this topic came up with Steve and I in the first hour of the show. Now, you know, people are saying, oh, we like Josh Allen, we like Josh Allen. And I'm just struggling. You know how people throw up smoke screens before the picks are coming off the board? How often do teams do that after the fact, maybe setting themselves up to be second-guessed down the line or not be second-guessed down the line? In other words, is there a motivation for teams to not tell the truth after the draft as well as before?
Well, Murph, I don't work for a team, but it seems to me that once you make your draft picks, you really shouldn't be commenting about them other than to say positive things. Why would you try to, you know, justify it? These are the guys you drafted. We're very happy to have them. And now we're moving on with the guys we have and the guys we wanted. And let's start the next season. I don't think beyond that you really should be saying anything.
Well, for instance, Pat Shurmur was quoted as telling somebody in New York that he really liked Josh Allen. Josh Allen was his guy. And I'm wondering, is he mean that, or is that just post-draft baloney to go with the pre-draft baloney?
I don't think we'll ever know that. I guess you could argue that he has no reason to lie, theoretically, because obviously he couldn't draft Josh Allen. And, I mean, I guess they could have drafted Josh Allen, so maybe he shouldn't be saying that, because Josh Allen was there when the Giants picked number 2.
Yeah.
So, you know, so to me, I don't think he should be saying that, but hey, that's just my personal opinion. I mean, I don't know what it served by saying those kinds of things, particularly when he's basically saying, and you can read it this way if you choose, that, hey, if I was making the pick at number 2, I'm taking Josh Allen. You could read it that way, whether he means it that way or not. We don't know.
Yeah. You know, to talk about Josh Allen, I mean, now, you know, here in Buffalo, it was a big uproar, you know, because, and I told you this when we spoke to you a couple of weeks before the draft, whoever you pick, there's going to be a certain percentage of people that say, ah, you picked the wrong guy.
Of course.
Right. So, you know, you go back and now that you have the guy, even his critics are starting to say, all right, well, we're going to go with him and here's what's good about him. Well, you know, just revisit not only what your assessment was of him, but also what is good about him.
Well, I think you're dealing with a quarterback whose physical skill set and overall traits are pretty high level. He's somewhat unrefined. He's inconsistent. There are certainly concerns, but you're hoping that those physical traits and his ability to do certain things. For instance, he did a lot of play action in college when he was under center and he turned his back to the defense. That will be a significant part of the Bills offense. I think he gives you the shotgun run game with the quarterback, something that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are very familiar with Cam Newton. In fact, I think there are similarities to some extent in the way that Allen can be deployed in your offense with the way Cam Newton is in Carolina. So I think there's similarities there. I don't think he's a great anticipation thrower. And again, I'll come back to Cam Newton, who is the number one pick in a draft. Very similar to Cam in that regard. Not a great anticipation thrower. A little bit scattershot at times. Needs some work on his pace and his touch. But he has a phenomenal second reaction playmaking dimension to his game, both with his running ability and with his passing. He's got very good athleticism and movement. I think you're drafting a guy that's a wild stallion that needs to be refined and coached. But I think there's a lot there. It's always a debate, Steve, as to, and you know this, as to what can be coached and what can't, but there's a lot of positive traits to work with Josh Allen.
Steve and I were talking about Greg this weekend, Friday, Saturday at least, we might get a chance to see Josh Allen at the rookie minicamp. What should we look for? What do you think would not surprise you if you were watching Josh Allen take his first snaps with an NFL team?
Well, I don't know exactly what they'll ask him to do early on. You know, I think the point, you know, normally in mini camps, it's not that difficult, the first one in particular. So at this point, you're just trying to make sure that the fundamentals are there. You know, you mentioned Baker Mayfield taking snaps under center. You know, you work on fundamentals. Obviously, Josh Allen has done a lot of that. I would guess, other than perhaps some accuracy issues, I would bet he'd probably look pretty good in mini camp until it gets tougher, because he's a big kid who throws it well, and you know, you're not dealing with defense that's really pressuring him. So other than maybe missing a few throws here and there, I would bet he'd look pretty good in minicamp.
Yeah, let's go on to the next guy the Buffalo Bills picked at number 16, Tremaine Edmonds. Now, this is a guy that a lot of people say, a little bit like Josh Allen, a big freakish athlete.
Yeah, and I think you're dealing with two guys, in all honesty, Steve, that are guys you have to work with. You have to coach. I mean, Edmonds, it was, I would assume, have they talked about how they're using him? Will he be basically a stacked inside backer? Because that's what he played in college. A lot of people just assume because of his length and his athleticism that he can play outside and be a great pass rusher, but he's never done that. So, you know, again, can he do that down the road with coaching and experience? Possibly. But in college, he was a stacked off-the-ball linebacker. And I don't know if Sean McDermott sees him with development down the road as sort of his version of Luke Kuechly. That's a very high bar, obviously, but you're drafting a kid 16th and a kid who's not even, I guess he's just going to be 20 years old. He's close to 6'5", and he's 250 pounds, and he's highly, highly athletic. So you're taking a young kid and you're basically going to coach him how to be a really good player. So your first two draft picks are I don't want to say they're projects, that's too strong, but I think they're guys that need a little time and coaching and experience.
With Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN, let's get to some of the other picks, Greg, and in particular, a guy that we had on the show last week, Bill's third rounder, Harrison Phillips, who, man, he's an unbelievable kid to talk to. I hope he can play, because I would love to interview that guy for the next 10 or 12 years.
Well, it's funny you say that, because he can play. And they know what he is, and that's why he was drafted where he was. And I'll tell you what I one of the things I typed in my transition section when I evaluate all these players, Murph.
Yeah.
I said at this point Phillips reminded me of a Kyle Williams kind of player. And I think that Phillips, he's an excellent inside run defender. He's not a sub package player, but he has really, really strong hands. And his game is built on that. He's got great balance, great body control. He's a little quicker in the short area than you might think. You know, he's not a great athlete in the sense that he's going to run down people. I think that given the kind of guy he is, and I saw him speak at the podium at the combine, and there's not a more impressive guy than Harrison Phillips. And his, you know, what I always describe as playing personality, meaning his effort, his intensity, his approach, you can see that. He plays with a relentless competitive edge. And as Steve knows, when you're talking about interior defensive linemen, that is really, really important because those guys don't often look pretty, but they just have to battle and battle and battle.
Yeah, those guys down inside, and he are all about personal sacrifice, really. I mean, they're blockers. They sponge in blockers to allow guys to run to the football. They also fill gaps and get penetration if they can. They just do anything they can, really, to help the front seven around them be effective in their defense. And this kid has the mentality. You know, he's a former state champion wrestler. He's incredibly flexible for a 300-pound man. I mean, why was he a third-rounder and a guy like him not a higher draft pick?
Those are always hard questions, but I think he's not seen, Steve, as someone who's going to play in any sub-packages, certainly not at this point. Now, I don't know if he gets to that point down the road, but I think at this point he would be seen solely as a base defense player, and he's not, he probably wouldn't be seen as explosive. You know, he's not, to use the terms everybody uses, he's not a quick twitch explosive mover. He's much more measured, methodical. He's not really a pass rusher, even though I think he might be able to develop into a functional pass rusher down the road. But right now, that's not what he is. He's a base defense interior D tackle. But he's got really strong, active hands.
Yeah, so the reason he's not a really higher draft pick is because he's going to have to come out on third down. He's not doesn't have
for
a pass
sure.
rush. Right.
Yep.
Right. Okay, look, we'll talk. What about, we were going to talk a little bit about the fourth-round pick, 121st overall, Taron Johnson. You had some thoughts about him. You did some work on him about his more of a slot guy.
Well, that's what he'll be in the NFL, and I think he'll be really, really good at it. He's a feisty, competitive kid. I think he's got some twitch to him. I think he's really good change of direction. But I just like – he was one of those guys, I just liked the way he played, Steve. You know, sometimes when you watch corners, you know, some corners are pretty guys where everything they do is mirror. They don't really put their hands on guys. They're not physical. They don't seem real competitive even if they're good players. I think Johnson is a competitive kid, and he was actually, I don't want to say he was one of my favorites that I watched of you know, 200-plus guys, but I found him to be a fascinating prospect. He's not going to be seen as an outside corner, I don't think, simply because of, you know, I don't want to say his size, because there's other guys who are basically his size who are drafted to be outside players, but I think that he's clearly going to be seen as a slot guy, and I think that's a position of need for the Bills, and I think he's going to get a very legitimate chance to win that job.
Greg, playing at Weber State, Big Sky Conference, does he have enough of a background to step in and play if the Bills need him to step in right away to play as their nickel corner?
I think you don't know that till you start going through all these, you know, off-season and workouts and mini camp. You know, I'm always a believer that if you think a guy's traits transition well to the league. So if it takes an extra month, so what? But I think he's got the traits and the attributes and characteristics to be a very good NFL player in the slot. So whether he's the starter week one, I can't answer that. But I think he eventually will be the slot corner for this team.
Yeah, let's move on. I talk about one of the fifth-round draft picks and one of the more intriguing. The Buffalo Bills have had some guys leave their offensive line, Richie Incognito and Eric Wood, who have moved on in their careers or retired. And the Bills in the fifth round out of Virginia Tech get a guard named Wyatt Teller. And you've done some work on him. You thought he was pretty intriguing.
Very intriguing. Going into the 2017 season, Steve, he was really considered, I don't want to say a first-round pick, but a pretty darn good prospect. And a lot of people felt that he did not have a good last year. And I would say that the traits were there and he didn't always play to them. And I think that's why he probably dropped. But he's a four-year starter, 43 starts at Virginia Tech. Actually, he went there as a defensive end. They switched him to offensive line when he got to Virginia Tech. But he looks the part. I mean, he's got an outstanding body type. He's got really long arms. He showed the ability to drive block and down block, rolling his hips, driving through defenders. I thought he was athletic in his pass set with good knee bend and balance. I liked this kid on tape. Now, he was frustrating, as I said, at times because he didn't always play to what his traits were. But now you get into coaching and you get into pulling it out of him on a consistent basis. But I think this kid's traits and his talent level were better than where he was drafted. So we'll see if he can play, you know, to a competitive level all the time.
He doesn't appear to, I mean, sometimes you see, especially interior offensive linemen, Greg, get, you know, a little sloppy, a little heavy. He doesn't look that way at all. I mean, he looks almost trim.
He looks the part, Murph. You are so right. I mean, his body type is awesome. And that could be a function of the fact that he was a defensive end. He was the Virginia State Defensive Player of the Year coming out of high school.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you're dealing with a kid that is, you know, made a transition and, you know, I don't know what he would have been if he stayed on defense, but obviously he's gotten drafted in the NFL. And I think if you can get that competitive urgency out of him on a snap after snap basis, you may have something with this kid because the physical traits are there.
Yeah. Well, Greg, it's always interesting to talk to you because it's obviously you like doing that film study stuff. And it's one of the things I really never really like doing, evaluating players. I always like watch X and I watch X and I don't really watch how a guy plays, you know, and I don't, you know, see how good a play. I see him when he makes a good play.
Right.
But so I got to ask you now, we wrap ourselves up in this draft and the build up to the draft that happened 10 days ago. So when do you start wrapping yourself in next year's draft? I mean, what's on the horizon for you guys and what's the next thing? Do you start focusing on the NFL season then?
I've actually got an NFL Films project coming up that I got to do more of a documentary film type project. But in my spare time, and I already started because I'm waiting to get started on that project, I've already started looking at some guys in next year's draft, believe it or not. I've actually looked at Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle from Houston, who's already said he's coming out after this year. And some people think he'll be maybe the top pick or certainly a top three. I've already actually watched 5 games of him already. And then I'll jump into all the NFL stuff probably around when training camp starts.
Can you give us any tease about what the project is for NFL Films? I mean, is it documented?
Oh, no, it's a highlight film. I always get, because I know a lot of the coaches just from what I've done over the years, they always give me a, you know, what we call a new coach, new approach film. So I'm actually going out to Arizona in a couple of weeks. I'm doing the Arizona Cardinals.
Hey, Greg, I won't ask you as we you know, get ready to say goodbye. I won't ask you who had the best draft, but knowing what you know about all these prospects, who had the most intriguing draft to your mind this past April 26th, that weekend?
Intriguing. See, boy, that's a tough question, Murph, because I haven't looked at like the teams. You know, I think the Bears did a really nice job, given what I think they want to do, because I kind of like the direction that they're going in, both on the offensive side with the mix of Matt Nagy, who's an Andy Reid disciple, and then Mark Helfrich, who's basically, a Chip Kelly's disciple, a really interesting mix now with Mitchell Trubisky. And I've always been a big Vic Fangio fan with what he does on defense. So I think drafting Roquan Smith was really a tremendous move for them. So they're just one team that immediately came to mind. Their first 4 picks I really, really liked, and I think they'll all get meaningful snaps and Smith will be a starter from day one.
All right. We'll look for that. Greg, thanks for this. We'll talk again, I'm certain. Thank you very much for joining us here today.
All right, guys. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks. Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst, NFL matchup on ESPN, senior producer for NFL Films. His quote about Josh Allen got my attention. He's a wild stallion who needs to be coached.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun to hear somebody describe like that.
Yeah, and kind of both guys, Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds as well. Both those guys, big, strong, rangy athletes. I was thinking, too, when Tremaine Edmonds is going to turn he's not even 20 yet.
No, he's 20 last week.
I don't even know.
Didn't he turn 20 last week?
He might. Either way, I mean, the guy's barely 20. I don't even know that he's done physically growing yet.
May 2nd, last week.
Right? I mean,
yeah, at age 20, you could.
At 20, you mean, you're kind of still kind of topping off. That's amazing to me. And you get these guys so young. And Edmonds is such a, you know, he was a stand-up stacked linebacker. He's 6'5", and like we're saying, he's growing. I mean, this is a tall inside linebacker who can really run. He's got that power forward build, you know, long-rangey kind of guy, right? And those are just really intrigued by his physical ability and what they're going to do and whether he can. And you would think that a guy like that is going to step in and have a chance to play right away for the Buffalo Bills, who are, you know, really forced by the what happened in the offseason to kind of revamp their linebacking core.
Greg kind of asked where he'd line up. I think it's almost certain, at least to start, he probably is going to start at Mike linebacker in the middle. I don't think he's outside
right
at all.
Yeah, I think he's going to be right in there from day one, and he probably goes right to the top of the depth chart.
Yep. Hey, we're talking about the schedule. Now, tickets available, individual game tickets available starting tomorrow for the Bills. We want to know from you, if there's one game that you had to go to, you wanted to go to this year, which one would it be? We're taking tweets on this. We're taking calls on this. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A call from Rick in Albany. Rick, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Before I want to get started, there's only two things I want to see. I want to see the Bills win the Super Bowl and eventually Steve Tasker get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, okay.
Before I the game that I circled in it, and it was even before the game schedule will come out, was the San Diego Chargers game. Two reasons. One is that they're kind of like what we are, and as in the skill sets and coming up and stuff like that. And it would be a good litmus knowing where we're going to be at this year with the Buffalo Bills. And secondly, is because we just got embarrassed by them last year.
Yeah,
and good I can't tell you what, it would be one thing to see how the revamped offensive line would hang in there against that pass rush with Joey Bosa out there. They had a really dynamic pass rush last year, and that's one of the things that gave the Bills so many problems early on, and what gave Nate Peterman problems in that first half was the fact that he had to get rid of the football quick. And to see a Buffalo Bills come into the season on opening day with a new offensive line other than the one that they started with last year, it'll be interesting to see if they can hold up against a good pass rush like the Chargers boast.
That's the home opener, which is always an interesting a game, and we talked about that, and the weather's usually pretty decent. You know, it would really make an attractive game if somehow, and it's a long shot, if somehow Nathan Peterman was scheduled to start that game. To get another shot at the Chargers?
Give him another shot at him.
That'd be great.
Oh, people would go crazy.
I'd go crazy. I'd love that.
I would explode.
Yeah.
That would be like people standing at the end of a train track with a train coming down at you. Oh, my gosh. You're right. That would be intriguing.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Wow.
Here's a couple of tweets on this from the tweet sheet on which home game is most attractive to you from Walt Dunn. He says the Titans game. Lockport's David Flewellen is on the team. He is running back David Flewellen. The Titans come here on Sunday, October 7th. And Rob Mikulak tweets in, I'm in Vermont and a local Amherst Tiger alum always hosts a Tigers-Bills reunion weekend. This year, it's the Chargers home opener. Orange and black on Saturday, Bills red, white, and blue on Sunday. Always a great weekend.
Good
stuff. Everybody's got like a personal stake. I love that.
Yeah, and then somebody, Benjamin Wagner, tweeted in just a moment ago. He wants to see, he doesn't care what game it is, but he wants to see Josh Allen's first start. We're going to get into that. We'll have that. That'll be a Twitter poll for later on. We're going to get to that one down the road, right?
We'll do it six more times.
Right.
One more tweet, this one from Brad D. The Monday Night Football Patriots game. At some point, Brady and the Patriots will start to collapse, and I would love to see it happen in person. The bonus would be that the Bills' defense causes Brady to get in a fetal position and start crying.
Yeah, don't hold your breath that that'll happen, but that they can break Tom Brady do that. Yeah, you know what, though? If you're a Bills fan, you would like him to strike the same pose he did in the Super Bowl when the Eagles forced that fumble late to get the football back and take an 8-point lead. He was sitting, remember, the shot, you see it on all the – he's sitting with his knees up, his arms on his knees, shaking his head. That was a bad moment. That's about as bad as it gets for the Patriots.
Yeah, Super Bowl like that.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Austin Prohl, Buffalo's seventh-round draft pick. He'll be here this weekend. We're going to get a jump start and get him on the phone line with us in a minute or two to talk to him about being drafted by the Bills and about his college career. Austin Prohl, when we return, John Murphy, Steve Tasker here at One Bills Drive with One Bills Live on Buffalo Bills Radio. We're back live with One Bills Live. John Murphy and Steve Tasker from our One Buffalo studio. We talked to a lot of the Bills draft picks in the week and a half since the draft ended. We've got one of them on right now, seventh-round draft pick Austin Prohl, the wide receiver from North Carolina.
Austin, thanks for being on. I appreciate you coming on. How are you feeling? Are you still kind of stoked about getting drafted in the NFL?
Absolutely, man. I can't wait. It's been an unbelievable experience for me. This past week and a half have been surreal. I can't wait to get up to Buffalo.
Yeah, I know that you had your dad, Ricky, was a great NFL player, had a long career. Talk to us a little about your relationship with him, what he told you about the draft leading up to it, and then what he's told you since.
Leading up to it, it was obviously a long process, but it was one of the things where he just prepared me for it. You know, he told me that there's a lot of things that happen that, you know, a lot of teams don't have control of, from trades and stuff like that. And I knew going into it that that's how it was. And, you never really know how it's going to go. So, you know, going in, you kind of have to have an open mind about it, and that's what I did. And obviously just, you know, my faith and trusting God that helped me land in the right spot. And I feel like he did that, and I'm obviously happy to be a Buffalo Bill and can't wait to get up there and go to work. And, the past week and a half, just continued with my workout plan and continued to stay with everything I've been doing more conditioning and stuff, get ready for rookie minicamp come Thursday.
Austin, your dad played 17 years in the league, and you must have, I'm sure you were around for some of that. What do you recall about your dad's career and what life was like when he was in the NFL?
It was hectic. It was a lot of moving. It was a lot of not be able to see him on Christmases and certain holidays and stuff like that. But it was awesome. I loved watching him. I loved watching him work out. His work ethic was just unbelievable. Even as a coach, just watching him work with his players and the relationship he built over the 17 years of playing and then 6 years of coaching was just really cool for me to see. And then the people he surrounded me with during his 17 years of playing was just, unbelievable. I've been blessed to be able to attend four Super Bowls while he was playing and then one when he was coaching. And it was just an awesome experience to me. And it's something that, it made me work harder to be able to get, to one of those games. And, I'm looking forward to chasing that dream.
Yeah, one of the other things that I wanted to ask you about, you had a really good career at North Carolina. You were there all 4 years. Tell us about your experience there. And also, one of the quarterbacks in 2016 that you caught passes from, Mitch Trubisky, who's playing for the Bears now. You had a nice season under his with him throwing you the football. So talk to us a little bit about your North Carolina career and the guys you played with there.
Yeah, it was a fun 4 years. When I first got there, not many people thought I was going to be able to play as a true freshman. And I wanted to play. I didn't want a red shirt just because, I was so locked in on playing ball and, be able to play that, I worked really hard and was able to play as a true freshman. And then leading up to my junior year with Mitch, we had great chemistry. We had a great group of guys. And we felt like we could be as good as we wanted to be. So we all worked extremely hard to be where we wanted to be come Saturday. And we had a good year. We didn't finish the way we wanted to, but overall we were happy with where we were. And then after that, unfortunately, Mitch decided to leave, and obviously it worked out the best for him. And but it was an unbelievable year for me and the team, and it was pretty cool to be around.
Austin, Mitchell Trubisky obviously got a chance to play with the Bears last season. What do you think lies ahead for him? I mean, what kind of an NFL quarterback do you think he might be?
I truly think he's going to be one of the best. He's great at what he does. He works hard. He's a great teammate. He's a great leader. He can anticipate throws. He throws a great deep ball. He's got arm strength and accuracy. And he's mentally very smart. He makes great reads and great decisions. And he can, get outside the pocket and do what he has to do with his legs. So I think he has a great career ahead of him. I can't wait to see what he does, except for, 2 weeks this year against the Bills in Buffalo. So.
Good one. So, talk a little bit about your schedule here in the next few days. I mean, what day are you planning on coming into Buffalo, and how long are you going to stay? And what have they told you about what you're going to be doing when you get here?
Yeah, so I fly up there Thursday morning for rookie mini camp. So that's 3 days long. And then after that, we start OTAs, working out with the team and going through all those phases. I think I'll be up there for a month and a half. And then just get ready for camp, just getting ready to, get this season rolling and looking forward to it.
Awesome. What did you broke your collarbone last season at Carolina and missed what, 7 or 8 games at the end of the year?
Yes, I broke my collarbone, missed 6 games.
6 games. And that's a collarbone that should heal up by now, right? You should be all set to go, right?
Oh, no, yeah, I'm ready to go. I did everything. I actually played the last 2 games of the season.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I broke it 3 games in. I was out for five and a half weeks. I told my surgeon I wanted to come back and play. He kind of looked at me like I was crazy, and I ended up coming back in about 5 and a half weeks after a plate and 6 screws were put in it. And, you know, and then I played in the NFLPA game, which was good, you know, just for another confidence standpoint. And then I ended up benching and doing everything at my pro day and at my regional combine.
Talk to us a little bit now about what when you get here to Buffalo, what have they given you, any exposure to the playbook? Have they given you a pad? Have they given you a surface to look at? Have they, you know, what academic stuff have they given you to do?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten started on the playbook from what they've given me and just, you know, going over stuff. You know, you can't do anything. You can't line up without knowing what to do. So, you know, I take pride in knowing what to do and not making mistakes in that side of the ball. And so I'm excited just to continue to get more deeper and deeper into the playbook and continue to work hard and perfect that. And then just continue to learn from the veterans when I get there and learn from my coaches and, you know, just go to work and really show the guys that they can depend on me and trust me. And that's my goal.
I guess a lot of us are expecting the Bills will ask you to be there to at least compete for the slot position spot. Is that right, Austin? You see that in your future, at least to get started here?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
What's that mean to you? And talk about your experience in the slot at Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's special, first and foremost, you know, to have the ability, you know, just to play ball, and especially in the NFL, is a dream come true for me. And it's a blessing for sure. And then just to be able to play slot, it's going to be fun. You know, in college, I didn't do it much. I played outside more just because I can run most of the outside routes, and I could also do it. I could also run the slot routes. I just didn't do it as much because we had, you know, Switzer and, you know, it was just kind of, you know, fitting people in where we could. We had so many good athletes. And then my senior year, I moved back in the slot a bunch. But I love running slot routes. I've really perfected that over my training process this spring. And just I'm so excited to get up there and really get in depth with the playbook and really get to work with the quarterbacks and the other receivers there.
Not that, you know, the other receivers don't have to think, but it seems to me the slot receiver, it really is the thinking man's position as far as the three receivers, isn't it? Like, you have decisions to make, choices to make, reads to make that maybe the others don't.
Right. I mean, I think everybody has decisions to make, but you are correct. I mean, the slot guy, you know, you sit in zones, you know, you chase certain coverages, and you got to do stuff that maybe other receivers on the field don't. But, you know, they're all, at the end of the day, they all work together. They all need each other to perform well, and that's how it goes.
And the last thing I have for you, Brandon Bean, of course, talked about how he remembered you when your dad was coaching at Carolina. You tell me about that exposure you had to Mr. Bean and to some of the others here. I mean, you'd like to see some familiar faces when you come up here later this week, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Mr. Bean and I, you know, I've known each other previously. You know, and just I think he knows how much I love ball and how much, you know, the sport of football means to me in general. So I'm excited just to get up there and give them all I got, you know, each and every day, and just whatever I can do to help this team win and help us, you know, meet our goals is what I'm going to do.
Austin, it's great talking to you. Good luck when you get up here, and good luck with the mini camp, and stay healthy, and we'll see you in training camp as well.
Thank you so much. Go Bills.
Thanks, Austin. Austin Prohl, Bills 7th-round draft pick, the receiver from North Carolina, joined us on the Subway Fresh Tank Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. Do you think that's true? I asked him that question. He kind of, you know, you don't want to downgrade the other receivers, but typically the slot guy has to think a little more than the other guys, right? The slot
guy
never gets into, you beat your guy downfield and I'll heat
it. Yeah, and it's one of those positions where, depending on the offense that you're running and the philosophy that they use, you need to be able to read what the defenses are doing. And if they give you a certain look, you have to do something different than that was called in the playbook. Or you have to use your mind to decide what route you're going to run rather than have somebody tell you what route you're going to run. There's a couple of different options to get depending on what the defense gives you. That's pretty high-level stuff when it comes to being physically capable of running it against an NFL defensive back, plus having the wits about you to recognize it, even if they're trying to disguise it and doing it as on the fly when you're trying to separate from a big physical athlete. And then while you're keeping your eyes someplace and getting a read that you're supposed to go. And so it's a lot on a plate of a guy inside, but because he's so close to the quarterback, they usually give those guys the out. I mean, the quarterback's got an out and it's usually a guy close to him. So the slot receiver and the quarterback invariably have the best chemistry on the team because the quarterback needs him so often when things come apart. And in the NFL, they almost always come apart at some point.
Austin is in kind of a suddenly crowded field of wide receivers, Steve. And, you know, I know some folks were bemoaning the fact that Bills didn't get, you know, receivers earlier in the draft. They waited till the seventh. But if you look at it now, Kelvin Benjamin, Zay Jones, Jeremy Curley now. I mean, you'd consider Curley, I would think, a strong candidate to be the slot guy. Andre Holmes played in the slot. Brandon Riley comes back. He's probably more of an outside guy. Rod Streeter coming back to the roster. I mean, there's some traffic at the wide receiver spot that Austin Proulx is going to have to deal with as he tries to make the roster.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, too, that, you know, you look at him, he ran a 4.41 at his pro day. That's fast. That's very fast. You can move him around and find some different ways to get him the football. He's also one of those guys that in whatever situation you want, you can put him outside and take the lid off. You know, you can send him deep. He doesn't have to be a deep threat, but they got to guard him. And if you send a guy deep, the field gets pretty thin and the defense is spread pretty thin pretty quickly. So a guy like him with great explosiveness and speed, he's going to help him, no question about it. The guy ran a 4.41. That's fast.
A couple of times in the last couple of weeks, since right around the time of the draft, I've heard various people both here and elsewhere talk about receivers, difficult for rookie receivers to get ready to play to help a team. Typically, their biggest improvement comes in year two. Do you believe that? Do you think that's the case?
I think in certain cases it is. I think they're coming out more polished now out of college ranks because there is so much throwing in the college ranks, and they're getting better coaching down there, and they're getting exposed to some things. But when you get to the pros and they start putting all that stuff on your plate that we just talked about a slot receiver having, you got to read defenses, you've got to read coverages, you've got to read concepts, and you've got to understand your place in all of it. Plus, the individual who's throwing the football, you've got to know him. You got to know what he thinks and how he thinks and what he wants. All that goes into about, you know, 3/10 of a second of decision making that you got to take into account, and you got to do enough of that to where it's second nature and the timing isn't thrown off by the fact that you're sitting there trying to think about it. Yeah. So, yeah, it's hard transition to make, just like any position is in the NFL when you go from a college ranks to the pros. It's the highest level of whatever your position requires, and you're going to be required to master it very quickly.
We'll take a break. We're coming back. We'd like to hear from you about which home game is most attractive to you. As Bills individual game tickets go on sale, they're on sale now to those with the My One Buffalo app, and they go on sale at noon tomorrow for everybody else. Give us a call. Lines open, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Steve and I back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. One Bills Live on a really pretty nice Monday afternoon. The weather's okay out there, Steve. A little chilly.
Yeah, it is.
Sunny.
It's golfable.
Golfable. I like that. Hey, this we got an interesting tweet sent into the show account, One Bills Live account, Steve. And I think you saw it. I pointed it out to you.
Yeah.
Now I got to find it. From a listener who wanted to point this out, that you, in fact, over the years, were involved in a I can't really describe it. I gotta see it first. Let me find it.
I know what it was. You're talking about the cookbook.
The cookbook.
All right. Yeah. So here's the thing. It was
here it is. Matt C.
from
says,
the Bills Grill, and it was a project. It was a fundraiser for the Buffalo Bills Women's Club. The wives of the Bills and of the players and executives, and they did a lot of fundraising back then, and I don't know if there was a foundation or whatever, but they would do it for things. And one of their ideas was to get their favorite recipes from, you know, some of the players. This was when, you know, the team started to actually get good. You can tell by the guys on the covers, Jim Kelly, Cornelius Bennett, me, and Shane Conlon. So, you know, that was the team that was, you know, that this was done in. I was like 88 or something. We might have been 12-4 that year, 89 or maybe before 89. I don't know. But the team started to get good, and they started, you know, use that notoriety to raise money. And this fundraiser, so in, you know, I don't know what page, let's see, what page is it on there that my little, my...
It's from Matt C., who tweeted it in, and he said he was doing some spring cleaning, and he bumped into this. It's a page, it's a picture of you and your wife, Sarah, and is that Deke, young
That's Deke?
Baby Deacon. Deke.
And the dog is Yogi. And
is Yogi still with us?
No. He's long gone. He's about three dogs ago.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, look at the kid in the picture is like what? He's like 14 months old, maybe. He's 31 now. He's about to be 31. So that's how long ago this was. We had one kid then.
Now you got grandchildren.
My fifth one is in college, and I got a grandkid that age.
So it was a while ago.
It's a while ago. I don't even.
The recipe is for Steve's Meatloaf, it's called. Pretty basic.
Good recipe.
Sirloin,
too,
cracker crumbs, onions, ketchup. You know, classic.
A little garlic.
Now, did you make this or did Sarah make this?
Well, it was.
Have you
I
ever made it?
I remember because, listen, my wife, Sarah's a rule follower, right? So I'm like, yes, we'll put it in. I go, let's put that in. She goes, no. I go, what?
Why?
She goes, you got to make it.
Good.
And then you got to put all the ingredients. We got to get it down exactly like you like it, and then we're gonna, so I'm like, man, I'm like making this stuff.
Meatloaf
like,
is a little this labor
is good,
intensive.
Hun. Well, yeah, and plus, you know, this is the thing. You don't go to your neighbor's house to eat their meat. You don't want to see what's in the meatloaf, right? Your neighbor's meatloaf is always creepy. Your meatloaf is fantastic. Everybody else's meatloaf is a little bit creepy because you don't know what's in it, right? So if it's your meatloaf, you make it, it's fine.
So what
but everybody
this,
else's meatloaf is a little bit creepy.
What makes this special?
Nothing. I mean, come on, man.
It's just meatloaf?
It's my favorite meatloaf, and I love it.
When's the last time you had it?
It hasn't been that long, but it's been a while. Listen, we're still learning how it is without five kids in the house. So it's just, you know, you got to cook like one – it's like you cook two cups of food, and it's
That's
for
enough.
The two of you. We had to have that big vat of
right.
soup or, you know, chili or, you know, half a beef has to go on the grill to feed the family. Now everybody's gone.
I've made this turkey meatloaf a couple of times. Every couple of months I'll make it, and it's kind of like an Asian hot, spicy turkey meatloaf. It's spectacular.
Yeah. Have you written it down, or is it all in your head?
I took the recipe off, you know, the internet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The problem is, like you just said, I always make too much.
Right.
So you have it for dinner, and then maybe make a sandwich out of it, and then maybe you try to do something else, and all of a sudden you're throwing out like
you're
half
like,
a
yeah,
half
you're
a
trying
pound
to
of turkey, and you're like, "What did I
you
do?"
You can't stand to look at it what anymore. You've had it like six meals in a row.
But I remember this cookbook from the Bill's Grill. I had one. This got to be 30 years ago, right?
Late
80s.
It's 29 yeah. years ago.
From the Bill's Grill, I had that. I bet I might still have that at home. I should go
look
dig
at it on the front cover down in the corner. You can see it's $10.
Wow.
It costs, and it was all to charity, you know, but whatever it was. And if you look too in the background of the cover, look at the end of the stadium. What it looked like, you know, there was like one scoreboard
side,
nothing was there. It was like blue sky above the seats.
I mean, they should do that again. What a great idea! What a great fun! I bet they made a lot of money with that, right?
I couldn't tell you, but they printed up cases and cases of those books too, boy. But, you know, you figure out the women's club, you bring the wives all get out. They get big cases of these things. They take them to the stadium for a home game. And they're, you know, people are, you know.
Absolutely.
Everybody always comes to the games with money in their pocket.
Yeah.
And they, you know, throw in $10 at it. And everybody walks out with a
that was cool.
with a cookbook.
Thanks to Matt C. for sending that in. Quick call here from Steve in Albany. Steve, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Okay.
Doing good.
Good. So, first-time caller, love the new show that you guys are doing. I love the back and forth and how you guys analytically break down specific things going into the season. So, now with free agency and the draft pass, as a fan, I start kind of breaking down where our roster is shaping up. So, comparing last year to this year, and I guess one of the things that really comes to mind as you guys start talking to all these new draft players coming in is, the talent ceiling is definitely increased on the roster, in my opinion, compared to last year. But there's more experience on last year's roster with Preston Brown starting compared to potentially Tremaine Edmonds starting in the middle. And Tyrone Johnson might be a potential starter in the slot compared to Leonard Johnson, who, you know, who knows what's going to happen to him. So I guess when you compare last year to this year, comparing a higher talent ceiling compared to an experienced roster, I mean, how do you take into a comparison the level of optimism that a Bills fan should have going into the 2018 season? Because I guess at the end of the day, really what it comes down to is the ramp-up period for a lot of these rookies to have an impact. That could really make or break a season overall.
Yeah, Steve, that's a great call, and it's a great, and it opens up a whole level of discussion, because you're right, there is a greater maybe talent level or better high end to the talent we have on the roster. The problem is last year, you look at what they got. That was a roster at the beginning of the year after training camp. I'm not talking about the roster they went into the season with. That the level of talent may be higher now, but think about this. Last year, the roster talent, they were laughing at the roster talent last year, even with the greater experience. And the Bills signed a ton of guys to one-year deals, on prove-it deals a little bit. And in the end, when they went 9-7 and got into the playoffs, I think it's pretty widely accepted that this coaching staff got a lot out of a little talent that they had last year. You can say what you want about the experience, no question about it. But if you, it's tough to transpose that roster and those expectations onto this roster and these expectations because of just what you said. You got a lot of young, raw talent that's unproven. Last year, you had a lot of stuff that you kind of knew what you got, but the sum of the whole was greater than the whole was greater than the sum of those parts. And if it's that way this year, wow, this team's a contender. But I don't think any of us are ready to make that assumption yet. So there's a lot in that call, Steve, and it's a really good question about how you compare last year to this year. I think it's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, I do too. There is a lot in that call. And, this essentially, I don't know about Steve, this will be my train of thought from now until training camp, until you really get to see, like, everyday practice. But one thing I think it needs to be pointed out, the roster, the talent level on the roster got worse as last year went along. Really, right? The Bills in August traded away Watkins and Darby in August, traded away Darius at the end of October. On a strictly, talented player list, their talent got worse, and yet they played better as the season went along. And so that kind of makes it difficult to translate it to, wins and losses. Who knows if the quarterback level – Tyrod was experienced last year. This year's quarterback's not quite as experienced. I don't know if the quarterback talent level is better. That will be maybe the central question. Everything's pretty much the same elsewhere except for offensive line. On the offensive side of the ball, you'd have to say that there are some question marks given the fact that you lost Incognito and Wood. I think you'd have to – wouldn't you agree the defensive line right now is better than where it was last year and ended last year with the addition of Lotulelei and Trent Murphy?
Certainly where it ended. It's at a much higher level than it was then. And I think that the big wild card to comparing the two teams is the effect that these coaches and the system have on it and that locker room. We all saw the effect that the locker room had on the level of play to guys who were journeymen or also-ran guys who came to Buffalo and prove-it deals, and then they got in the locker room and they thrived in the environment that Sean McDermott and the leadership like Micah Hyde and Kyle Williams and Jordan Poyer and all these guys kind of, and Jordan Matthews, all these guys kind of brought together, the exponential rate of production on the guys who we weren't really expecting to be any good just really exploded.
Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer.
The secondary of the Buffalo Bills with four new players coming on was full of question marks, and all of a sudden, in my estimation, it was one of the top two or three secondaries in the entire NFL in their production, their level of production, the way they played, the things that they did. It was just absolutely outstanding, given, in fact, maybe one of the top secondaries in the league, given the fact they had no pass rush. They didn't have a run defense that was up to snuff. They couldn't get pressure on their opposing quarterbacks, and yet they still had a year that was an absolute phenomenon, given the fact that they were four brand-new faces starting.
And one thing I think, Steven, you got me thinking about this now, is one of the lessons I learned from last season, 2017 Bills season, was that preseason expectations, as verbalized by so-called experts, they don't mean a thing. And as Steve pointed out a couple of minutes ago, going into the year last year, people thought, look at this Bills roster. They've slapped together this roster with one-year contracts with all these players. They're in deep trouble. Well, they weren't. You know, they won nine. They weren't the greatest team in the NFL, not even the best in the division, but they won nine with that group. Coaching plays a role. Luck plays a role.
Absolutely. The way the ball bounces.
One of the lessons I took from last year observing the Bills was preseason expectations, forecasts. It's foolish. You can't take anything from it. Nobody knows how it's going to play out.
And plus, the thing that is changing now, even as we speak, is all the player movement. Even in the at the end of the preseason, the Bills made significant changes throughout the first month of the season, and then all the way into Week 8 when they traded Marcell Dareus. They got new guys coming in and out. You know, Ramon Humber didn't show up until late in the preseason, and he played significant snaps. There's the whole list of guys who were brand new to the system, and now that I mentioned the system, a bunch of guys are going to be in their second year in the system.
Yeah.
We've already spoken to Lorenzo Alexander, who had come on the show last week. He said, man, we're light years ahead of where we were at this point last year. We're going to be able to evolve in this defense to higher levels of X's and O's and our ability to defend. And also, and you got to think it's the same on the other side, their ability to attack. But you're going to have new – it's going to be just the opposite, because you're going to have new guys offensively at the skill positions, presumably A.J. McCarron, Josh Allen – as opposed to new offensive linemen, a couple of new guys in the front line of the offensive line. You know, so the system is going to be different on both sides of the ball, because one side in the defense, you're going to have a bunch of guys that got a lot of experience. On the other side of the offense, is going to be new faces with the old system. So how do you anticipate how that's going to come down? Even given three preseason games or four preseason games, having to look at it, I don't think we know.
I mean, nobody knows.
But I know this, and I was thinking about this while we were talking. I am so optimistic. Just given the way that season came down last year and how unexpectedly good this team came together, unexpectedly good they played, unexpectedly well they came together, it was just so fun and encouraging to watch. And for the first time in, well, you pick the number of years – for the first time in a number of years, this was a team that I looked forward to watching and cheering for. I was a team you were kind of proud to cheer for. It was a team that was back in the saddle, getting turnovers and winning games, both ugly. They came back to the way they came back to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the way they beat a good team in the Oakland Raiders. It was just a lot of fun to be on that bandwagon that last year.
It'll be fun.
It is. I'm completely optimistic about how fun it's going to be. I don't know. They may win, you know, who knows? They may win five games. I don't know. Or four games or two games or 10 games or 15 games. But it's going to be fun. It is fun to be on that bandwagon because of the vibe that comes out of the building.
We're going to take a break. We got more to come. We want to hear from you about which home game are you most looking forward to seeing. And I'll tell you what, if there's a road game that you're looking forward to seeing, let us know about that too. We'll take your phone calls, 803-0550, and outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call, 1-888-552-550. Maybe you want to weigh in on our Twitter poll, which home game are you looking forward to the most? Individual game tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon. That's what prompts this discussion, and we'll talk about it when we come back. Steve and I, 1 hour to go. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. The update from One Bills Drive. Veterans on the job here in Orchard Park early this week. The rookies take center stage later on this week. It is another week of off-season conditioning for the Bills. Phase two, on-field workouts and meeting with the entire units on the field. And then second week of the three-week phase two. Later this week, rookies arrive. The Bills rookie minicamp goes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Draft picks, newly signed undrafted rookies hit town Thursday night. Couple of days of on-field work coming up this weekend. Cleveland Browns had their rookie minicamp last weekend, just ended weekend, and former Heisman Trophy winner Baker Mayfield, who spent most of his college career playing from the shotgun, took snaps from under center, the bulk of his snaps from under center during the Browns rookie camp. One concern about Mayfield going into the draft was his ability to run a pro-style offense from under center. Former Tennessee Titans safety Michael Griffin is going to sign a one-day contract with the team and officially retire. Former first-round draft pick out of Texas in 2007. 9 seasons with the Titans, 2 Pro Bowls. His best year in 2008, he played 141 career games for the Tennessee Titans. NBA tonight, the Cleveland Cavaliers can knock the Toronto Raptors right out of the playoffs. Game four of the Eastern Conference semifinals. But two of Cleveland's three prior wins have come by a combined 3 points, which means that Cleveland coach Tyronn Lue is cautioning his team against overconfidence. He says, I don't know who the pressure is on. Game four tonight in Cleveland, Toronto in Cleveland, with the Cavs looking for a chance to advance. And the Buffalo Bison swept a four-game series over the weekend from Syracuse. Now they're home to start a series, a three-game series against Rochester tonight. Yesterday, the Bisons beat Syracuse 6-1. Right-hander Sam Gaviglia will be on the mound for the Herd tonight. 6:05 first pitch at the downtown ballpark, the Bisons and Rochester. That is the update from One Bills Drive. Welcome back to Hour 3 of One Bills Live. John Murphy and Steve Tasker.
That update, Toronto at Cleveland tonight. I kind of want to watch that.
Me too.
Cleveland, I mean, LeBron really spent himself in the Indiana series in the opening round of the playoffs. He game seven, even his teammates said they'd never seen him so run down. And they come out and they get to play Toronto. And before the season, before the series started, everybody, and me included, thought, this is the year Toronto can do it. LeBron's worn down. Toronto had a 59-win season. It's going to be an awesome, awesome series because Toronto may finally get to the conference finals. Past Cleveland, and they come out and they lose the opening game in overtime on three missed layups in the last moment. And then the next time LeBron comes out and just crushes them like the giant in Peter and Jack and the Beanstalk. And then the other night LeBron hits this unlikely bank shot at the last
great.
Which and you know what I love I'm gonna remember about that game? This is why I bring it up. That shot, when he banked it in and the time ran out and they win the game and go up 3-1 and they're going to, you know, they're going to probably win the series now, you could tell that meant something to LeBron.
Yeah.
He celebrated that shot like no shot I've seen him celebrating. And it was like a conference. It was like a finals winning that. He loved hitting that shot and beating Toronto in Cleveland. I think he got an insight as to how important that was to him, and I think he really reveled in that moment.
Yeah, we are witnessing greatness again, and just when you may have been of a mind to think, okay, LeBron, you got to wind it down soon. No, he doesn't.
It's so wrong, too, because everybody's all on with LeBron. He's the greatest of all time. He's going to go, and he's going to carry yet another inferior, flawed Cavs team to the finals. Or it's like, nope, he's done. It's gonna, you know, it's done too long. He'll never be Michael Jordan. He's always going to be an also-ran. We just ride that roller coaster constantly with him in Cleveland.
And he does. I'm always surprised by this, but I see it more and more now, especially this year. He has detractors in the media. He has people who really do not want to see him succeed, and it drives me crazy. Man. In fact, what's his name? The Dallas guy who's on ESPN, Skip Bayless.
Skip. Oh, man, listen, he kills him.
And he was killing him the other day about, well, you know, did he mean to bank that shot, that game-winning shot? Look, Skip, it doesn't matter if he meant it or not. He put it in. He put the shot in, won the game, won a playoff game with that shot. What do you mean? Did he mean to bank it? No, it's all luck. In fact, his entire career is luck. That is just so – I mean, I get it. If you're a sports writer and you feel like you need hot takes and I'm going to take this position against everybody else, all right, if that's the way you make your living – but what a stupid question that is. Did he mean to bank it? Because that's really the measure here. No, it isn't.
No.
He put the shot in, won the game.
He won the game. And the guy's unbelievable.
He is unbelievable.
Reset the Twitter poll because I got something I want to talk about with this Twitter
poll. Reset the Twitter poll. Yes, sir. Individual game tickets go on sale for Bills games tomorrow. Although if you have the My One Buffalo app, you can do it now. Which Bills home game would you most like to see and why? Give us a call if you'd like. We'd love to hear your voice, 803-0550, or from outside Buffalo toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Reach out to us on Twitter or vote on Twitter. Right now on Twitter, the Twitter poll, 58% of you say the Monday night football game against the Patriots is the game that you would most like to see the home game. 21% say the home opener against the Chargers. 15% say the rematch with the Jaguars. 15% say the playoff rematch. 6% have something else in mind. And let me throw this in, too, if you want to discuss this. Which road game would you most like to see? Give us a call on that.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was going to talk to you about right now. And this opens up something. We didn't talk about this in the break, but you're going to love this because we have talked about this maybe once in the past. But from Dave Kaproche, who tweeted, looking forward to seeing Lambeau Field for the first time. Cubs versus Cardinals at Wrigley Field on Saturday afternoon. Then they're going to drive up to Milwaukee and watch the Bills at the Packers on Sunday. You know, that brings me to something really cool that I've been thinking about with scheduling in the NFL. What would it be like if you could get a weekend where you could get the Sabres playing, you know, in the late fall when the season drops the puck in hockey, and have it coincide with a weekend where not only are you playing a Bills game, not just a Bills game and a Sabres game. We've had that at different times. What if you're playing the Patriots on Monday night and you're playing the Bruins on Saturday night, and make it a whole weekend so you could have all of Boston would come in, they'd descend on the city.
Why do you want them?
Well, that's just it. It may not be that. It could be anybody. It could be the Rangers and the Giants. It could be the Carolina Hurricanes and the Panthers. It could be the Nashville Predators and the Titans. Or it could be that the Buffalo Bills are playing the Titans in Nashville, which I actually did that game for CBS, and there was thousands of Bills fans down there. But if it was a Friday night hockey game and a Sunday game, again, the Friday night hockey game, Sabres-Predators, and a Sunday game, Bills-Titans, that would be a weekend that even the city would benefit from. It would be awesome. Why would they not do that?
I think that has happened, Steve. I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah,
to
but
do
it's them. Come on. Yeah, I know it. I mean, think about how hard it would be. But man, oh man, would that not be a road trip of all road trips?
Yeah, it'd be great.
We could make a movie about that.
What would it
we
be
could
rated?
Take a, we could take the show down there.
And what would that movie be rated?
It would be awesome.
No, I want to say that that's happened, and maybe somebody in the listening audience can call in.
Remember,
or
that? Because when I went down there and I was working for CBS and did the Bills Titans game 2 or 3 years ago in Nashville. From Friday, we're there from Friday morning, and we're doing, and people start getting there, and you're walking around, and every third person down there's got Bills gear on downtown.
Now, a lot of that is transplants, people who move south, because that was the Bills' first game in the South.
Listen, you weren't there on Saturday afternoon, because I'm telling you what, that place, that old town Nashville was absolutely Bills fans, and some of them may have been, but I'm telling you what, those bar owners and those restaurant owners did not care where they came from because it was packed.
Yeah.
And it was rooftop bars were full. It was spilling out on the streets. It was awesome. And I got to think that would be something that the cities who have two franchises would lobby both leagues and say, hey, we want a weekend in October where you can get the hockey team and the football team coincided with some other city. And I think it would be just a dynamite combination. Right?
I can't argue. Yeah, it would be. I mean, if you're the Bills.
It should be a national holiday. Like every hockey town, football town that coincide should have their weekend.
First of all, and I'm not saying no, but do you really think NFL owners in any city, we're different here because we have the same owners, do you think they really care what the hockey schedule looks like? Nobody's hurting to sell tickets. What does an NFL owner care?
Well, here's the thing. Say you're a city that is wanting an upgrade to your stadium, or you're wanting to do some bargaining for a rights deal or rent on the stadium or whatever. That weekend would be a great bargaining chip for you, for the city to say, listen, we'll give you a tax break on your stadium, but you got to give us that weekend where you've got – when we've got the Sabres coming in town, I want the Buffalo Bills to be in town that weekend too, because let me tell you something, that team travels, and I want that whole weekend for our city. So if you want a tax break on your stadium deal, you give us that weekend. You know, it's all – come on, man, that's genius.
Well, it's interesting.
Listen, it would be – listen, you people have been – in Buffalo, we know it would be a festival. It would turn into a – 4-day or 5-day thing where it would be an awesome weekend for the city, for the restaurants, for the bars, for the hotels, everything.
Okay. I can't disagree. I think it'd be fun.
What set me off was that tweet we got. The guy, hey, I'm taking my wife to the Lambeau Field for the away game. Yeah. We're also going to catch the Wrigley game. And I remember when the Pagulas bought the hockey team with the Sabres, and then they acquired the Bills. They got both teams. And then I saw Bills fans in Nashville, and there was a hockey game, and it was a bunch of Sabres fans. It wasn't even a Sabres game.
Yeah.
They all went to the hockey game then. I was like, wait a minute. And the light went off.
They do travel well.
I thought it was brilliant.
Emmanuel on the line from Hawaii. Emmanuel, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just had a comment about your poll. I think the best game for home would be the Chargers game because they treated the Bills like stepchildren last year when we went to Los Angeles. Also, I've been looking at some Josh Allen film, and I think if we don't get a true quarterbacks coach in there, because the guy, as I understand it, who's coaching the quarterbacks this year worked with the right receivers, I think we need somebody in there who's specifically been a quarterback whisperer to where he can just coach Josh Allen and let him sit for a year and also until they fix that offensive line. I know that we say that the offensive line is going to be okay, but I think that it needs drastic improvements because he doesn't have the mobility of a Tyrod Taylor, and I think he might get killed even if he sits a little bit.
Well, not many. Let me stop you because I want to address some of these, Emmanuel. Not many have the mobility of Tyrod Taylor, but I do think Josh Allen has pretty good mobility. He moves around pretty well. Clearly, yeah. You don't want him to get killed.
And I get
you
it.
Want to protect him.
I get about the quarterback whisper, but here's the thing. The way it works, don't really look at the quarterback's coach, who in our case was a wide receiver coach for a lot of years. Look at the coordinator. I know that when I was playing and Jim Kelly came in, Teddy Marchibroda was the quarterback coach, was the offensive coordinator. But he's also, during training camp and during the run-up, the quarterbacks are sitting in the room with the coordinator. That's the guy that they have their most interaction with. And what happens a lot of times is that during the season, as things get rolling, they got everything going, and then the quarterback coach is a liaison between the quarterback and the coordinator because they both have so much on their plate, they don't get to spend as much time together. But I think Brian Daboll, I think we owe him a chance. He's got impeccable credentials. He's had great success in the league. And he's coming off of working with very young quarterbacks just a year ago in a national championship setting. So the guy's going to know how to handle a guy of Josh Allen's vintage. So I think, unlike a lot of other people, no question, there's a little bit of a question mark as how it's going to go. But I'm not hesitant about the situation on the coaching staff about how they're going to handle a young quarterback.
Here's a call from Gary in Louisiana. Gary, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Gary.
I've been a Bills fan for, again, it's 25 years now, probably, 26. And I've only been to one game when they came down and played the Saints about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I was there for that game, and it was great. I mean, I wasn't real thrilled because the team wasn't that great. It was Marone's first year as head coach.
Yeah, it wasn't right? That's too long ago. It wasn't 8 years ago, was it, really?
Yeah. Thad Lewis was the quarterback. Okay. I remember it. Anyway, I want to go to the Texans game this year because that's close to my home. It's about 6.5 hours for me.
Texans.
So I'm going to try to get to that game.
Yeah,
that's going to be exciting. I'm excited. One day I'll come up to Buffalo.
Yeah, come on up. You should come up and try. You got to come. It's like, you know, it's got to put it on your bucket list, Gary. You can't just – you can be a Bills fan forever and live in Texas and go to those road games. Once in your life, you need to come up and do the whole game and the experience all the way up here, too. And go ahead.
I am. I'm going to do it. I mean, it's something I've been wanting to do forever, just – family, you know, job responsibilities, but I'm going to make it happen. I promise you, I'll be up there.
Yeah, come on over to Houston. That was 2013 when the Bills played at the Saints.
It'll be interesting to go to the Texans game, too, because of Deshaun Watson. You know, he's another great young quarterback who, before he got hurt last year, was lighting it up. At one point last year, early in the season, the Houston Texans were top. They were scoring 30 points a game. With Deshaun Watson, they were lighting it up, and they had a number one defense in the league. So it looked like for a minute the Houston Texans had caught lightning in a bottle right out of the get go, and then of course Deshaun Watson got hurt, and then they just didn't have anybody to play behind him or anybody that could play good enough to keep it going, and you know their season turned into what was the fourth overall draft pick that they had already traded to Cleveland. So. I think Deshaun Watson is very intriguing about how he comes back this year and how well he plays.
A couple of notes from the tweet sheet to answer our question, which Bills home game do you most want to see? Thomas tweets in, the Jacksonville game is what I want to see. It still stings. We only put up 3 points against them in the playoffs, and it would be satisfying to say the least to beat them. I guess I underestimated Jacksonville, yes, they went deep into the playoffs last year, Steve. I don't hold them in really high regard for some reason. And I got to say, I'm underestimated how much that game might mean to some people. The playoff match last year, yeah, and the Bills only put up three. It was awful.
Right.
And the Marone factor, I think. There are people here who look forward to booing Doug Marone when he comes back.
Well, he's one of those coaches that left.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like he got fired.
Nope.
And that doesn't sit well with a lot of people. And then we got another tweet about the scheduling thing. Chris Rolick writes, in San Jose Sharks and the Oakland Raiders played in Buffalo last year the same weekend. And also the Philadelphia Flyers played the Colorado Avalanche in Philly the same weekend that the Broncos were in town to play the Eagles. So that was a great time that weekend.
Okay.
So that can work.
No doubt it'll work. I think the NFL doesn't hurt to sell tickets. No NFL city really struggles to sell tickets.
And I agree with you. But here's the thing, too. It's like I said in my response, it's great for the city. It's almost a gift to give to the city and the commerce and the restaurants and the hotels, because every NFL home game gets a certain amount of that from fans who live away from the city, come into the city to see the team every week. But I think if you couple it with two different professional football teams from the same fan base, you're going to double that for the city. And over that weekend, it'll be a big boost for the economy. Even if it is, a drop in the bucket, hey, it counts. I think all those things add up. And I think if the more you do it and the further in advance you can get an idea that they may happen, people plan for it.
A couple more from the tweet sheet. John Whitfield, being a Bills fan from 1964 from Peoria, Illinois, I would love to see any home game. That makes sense. And finally from Jay Traynor, going to the New England Monday night game in October. My wife is from New Hampshire. She's never been to an NFL game. I grew up in Buffalo. It's our 15th anniversary. We both have October birthdays. I turned 40 this year. Makes sense to me. Purchase front row seats. Great. Great. Like I said, I love when people personalize it. Their reasons are not who the opponent is, who the coach is, who you hate. It's what this game means to me.
It's about me, man.
That's what it should be.
I do, too. I absolutely love it. That's why fans can do that. That's why fans, if they buy the ticket, they can boo.
They can
boo a guy who used to play here who just touches the puck once in a hockey game. We can boo him.
How about this? Would you boo Mike Gillisley if he's with the Patriots? We came across this. I want to talk about this before we get to break here, Steve. Last year, Gillisley left Buffalo, right? Got a two-year, $6.4 million deal, and they had to compensate the Bills with a fifth-round draft pick this year. I think that was the offensive lineman, right? That was the pick the Bills got to return. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This year, Gillisley, however, according to reports in New England, Gillisley might not even make the Patriots roster. Patriots going to keep, four or five running backs? Rex Burkhead, you would think, is a lock. James White, and this year's first-round draft pick, Sonny Michel, locks. So it's Gillisley, Jeremy Hill, Brandon Bolden, and undrafted free agent Ralph Webb competing for, one spot on the Patriots roster? Gillisley, benched for the second half of the season, only played in one game after Week 8. A healthy scratch for all three postseason games. There was a segment, Steve, of fans, callers to this show a year ago, who thought that was the greatest criminal act ever perpetrated.
Huge blunder.
Yeah. Gillisley went there and wasn't a factor and didn't even play the second half of the year.
And now, that deal's still not done, because now Gillisley turned into Wyatt Teller, who, both you and I thought, and Greg Cosell in the second hour of the show said, he might start for you guys.
Yeah.
As a fifth-rounder. So you turn the Gillisley signing with the Patriots into the fifth-round draft pick that turned into a guard that may come in and be a guy that plays for 10 years. That's a pretty good deal.
Gillisley's not out in New England yet, but there's speculation that he's on his way out. I don't know why I make this point, just for people to – you can have your opinions, but think about it. The people who do this for a living typically have a good sense of where these players are and what they might do.
Yeah,
including those who are no longer here.
And I get it's the situation we live in, the society we live in. Everything is the worst mistake ever. And they may miss. They don't miss as egregiously as people make it out like they meant. Like Gillisley was going to go to the Pro Bowl last year after rushing for 1,500 yards, kind of mistake. No, he was inactive for half the year for the Patriots. So if you want to get better, you got to get better players. And I don't think there's any question the Bills are on that mindset. And if you think that was a mistake still, that they got rid of Mike Gillisley after the year the Bills had last year, I don't know.
Maybe you were wrong.
That's a debate. It's a debate.
A break here. We're back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. show is One Bills Live. We're coming to you from our studio at One Bills Drive inside the AdPro Sports Training Center next door to the New Era Field. It's a nice day in Orchard Park. Bills veterans on the field today. They'll be back out there tomorrow. The rookies coming in this weekend. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Let's squeeze out a couple of calls here. John calling from Atlanta. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. Good, John. Thank you.
Hey, I want to say hi to Mr. Tasker. I love you, man. Right next to Thurman.
Thanks. I appreciate you.
Favorite players.
Awesome.
Hey, man, I would just love to see the Sabres come down to Nashville with the Bills. I went to that Predator-Sabres game. Miss hockey down here. Sabres used to come here twice a year. But anyway, it was just awesome. Nashville is a great place. Man, I would spend that whole weekend there.
Yeah, I thought it was a great atmosphere. The old, Nashville's set up for parties and for live music, so it's a really nice place to spend a weekend to go to a game if your team does play there regularly.
They call it Nash Vegas.
There you go. And I'll tell you, I know a lot of people are trying to move down there. It's really a booming city, no question about it.
Right. Yeah, it kind of stinks that the Titans and the Jaguars are playing in Buffalo, but I'll take that.
Right.
So it's kind of rough for me to go to a game this year, but so I guess I'll have to travel down to Miami.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, John. Here's a call from Mike. Mike, you're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, yes, I'm happy that we got Jeff Allen. I didn't really want him. I wanted Mayfield. Even though we got gypped, I think. But
how we get gypped?
Yes, the Sabres with the NHL.
Wait, Mike. Who got gypped and how?
Well, this reminds me of the New York Lottery a couple years ago when we were supposed to be first pick, but we got third pick with Edmonton. But I'm happy we won this year with Montreal.
No, but... I'll ask once more. Who got gypped and how?
Oh, we got gypped because...
I'm going to leave that one to you. Bruce. I told you you were going out on it. I did.
Now
I'm going to
take
you.
One more. We can't
All
end
right,
with
let's
it.
Go.
Bruce in Florida. Go ahead, Bruce.
How you doing, Murph?
Okay.
Go ahead, Bruce.
And who's this other guy? Steve, did you play football?
No. I'm just another radio guy.
I'm with you. I'm just checking. Hey, listen, I got to come up there last year for the Denver game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had season tickets for years and years before we got to go to the Super Bowls. And my last season tickets were when you all beat the Raiders 52-13.
51-3, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it was. And yeah. I've been down in this godforsaken state ever since. And we're sitting in a Jim Kelly Club watching the game, and we have Denver fans next to us, and everybody else was screaming so loud that Denver fans had to leave.
Wow.
There you go.
Oh, it was awesome. And my cousin looked at me and goes, "Why are you crying?" I said, "Because this is the closest to heaven I'll ever get." Just being in the stadium. It is unbelievable, and I got goosebumps in my arms now. I cannot wait for this next season. I think the kid we drafted, our quarterback, he'll pan out. What are we going to do? It can't be worse than anything else we've had.
So, Bruce, are you coming up to a game? Are you coming up to Buffalo for a game?
I tell you, I want to come up for that New England Monday night game like you have no idea.
All right. Well, hope you can make it happen. That's good stuff. I remember, too, that that 51-3 game was a high moment, no question about it. It was I'll never forget it either. It was pretty fun.
Bruce, thanks for your call. Let's get to NFL True and False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. A lot of this still post-draft comments. And there was one comment from Mike McCarthy, Green Bay Packers head coach, who's all set at quarterback, right, with Aaron Rodgers. But they did acquire DeShone Kizer in a trade. And McCarthy said this, according to USA Today. In my opinion, if Kizer was in that class this year, this year's draft class, he would have been part of that group of first four guys or first five. I always felt there were five quarterbacks, first-round guys. He says DeShone Kizer would have been in the first round along with, the Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, and that group.
Did he
True
say
false?
Did he say it was going to be the first round, or did he say the first player picked?
No, first round, in the first round.
Oh, yeah. That could wait, may well have been. Because I'll tell you this, when he came out, DeShone Kizer was out of Notre Dame. His coach said he should have stayed in another year. And Kizer would have been a better quarterback had he stayed one more year. But I understand he wanted to come out. He wanted to turn pro. And it's certainly his decision to make. But I don't think there's any question. He would be a better player now had he not come out and played for the Cleveland Browns and gone 0-16.
I blame the Browns for this. The Browns are the one who botched him, right, throwing him in there last year. And look, would he have been in this year's first round? I don't know. Are we talking five quarterbacks? Who would he have bumped out? Lamar Jackson? All right, I'll say true, but he would have been the last quarterback selected, Kizer. Because, yeah, he had some good playing time in Notre Dame. If he were, who knows – if he were the same guy coming out this year, he would have been probably 32nd in the first round, just like Lamar Jackson was.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll say true.
I'll say it might be true, too, because I had thought when he came out, he said he was going to be the first pick of the draft. But he said he's first-round talent in this quarterback class. Absolutely. DeShone Kizer had some attributes that that measured up, and that's why he was taken last year. So, I would say probably is true. He probably would have been in that cluster of quarterbacks up at the top.
And McCarthy, fleshed out the quote a little bit. Mike McCarthy didn't just blurt it out. He said, I think he has exceptional arm talent. What we're asking him to do is, particularly the footwork and just how he fits the scheme, how he operates is brand new to him. He said, you see a guy who has no experience or background, McCarthy discounting what went on in Cleveland last year, but he goes on to say, he has the ability. To me, there's an opportunity for a lot of growth, so I think he has a bright future. Okay, Mike McCarthy makes sense there.
He traded for him, but he traded away Demaryius Randall for him as well. And Demaryius Randall's a former first-round talented guy who I think will probably give the Browns more than DeShone Kizer did last year. I don't know question about it. He's a player that's going to be productive for them.
Here's an interesting one. NFL true or false. This came about in a story in the Washington Post by Mark Maskey. He says the NFL should make the national anthem policy a team choice. In other words, the team decides. Does the team come out for the anthem? Do they stand? Do they kneel? Make it a team choice. True, false? I'm going to say false right off the bat. You don't want some teams doing it, some teams not doing it. I do think, and they're going to discuss it, I believe, owners at their meetings later this month. And they'll come up with something, but I think it's got to be a league-wide policy. And I don't know whichever way you think of the policy should go, then keep believing that. But it's got to be league-wide. You can't have a team. One team do it this way, the anthem, the other team do it another way. Just opens it up. Then it'll be like, part of the pregame. It'll be right. Part of the pregame reporting. Well, the Broncos do this, but the Chargers do that.
Right.
Really, you don't.
I agree.
That.
They're going to have a uniform policy across the league, and they have to address everything that's gone on in the last 18 months having to do with it. So I'm with you, Murph. I do not think they'll leave it up to the teams, unless by leaving it up to the teams you mean they're going to vote on it and see what they all do together. I don't think it'll be different from one game to the next because there's so many things that happen pregame, and we get a timing. You get a timing sheet every year on the broadcast. Yeah. You get a timing sheet. Everything's mapped out from the anthem to pregame ceremonies to the flyby to whatever. Is mapped out very specifically because of they want everybody to kick off at the exact same time. So I think they'll unify, they'll have a uniform policy for the anthem and how they handle it. Yeah.
Finally, NFL true or false, Baltimore Ravens. There's a lot of chatter about Lamar Jackson in Baltimore these days. Some people maintain that the Ravens should get ready to use him early in the season. John Harbaugh, talking about him over the weekend, told reporters that got a lot of coaches with a lot of experience. He said, you can do it in practice, do it in the laboratory, getting him ready to play. Harbaugh had no specifics as to what the Ravens lab might mean, what they've already cooked up. But it looks like they're going to here's Harbaugh on Saturday. The thing I was really impressed is I thought he was accurate. That's something people were questioning. To see him out here throwing the ball naturally, very accurately, I thought that was a big plus. Ravens should use Lamar Jackson early in 2018. Yeah, how about opening day? How about against the Buffalo Bills on September 9th?
Oh, yeah.
I'm good for that. Yeah. I'm all right for that. But, no, I mean, if the Ravens – I think the situation calls for a break-in period for Lamar Jackson. We'll see. They'll practice. They'll get their training camp in. I don't think Flacco's done, although he's had some rough years. But I would say false unless they want to start him on September 9th against the Bills.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think they will put him in games in certain situations. They'll use him in situational football. I think John Harbaugh is the perfect – guy and has the perfect mentality to say, listen, we got this guy. We're going to maximize our roster. We got a kid with some athletic ability that can play quarterback, throw it accurately, and make some good decisions. We're going to put a package in for him on a short yardage or maybe red zone, goal line stuff, for him to go in and give them a boost in their offense or give them a wrinkle in their offense that the defense has to contend with. So I say, yeah, they're going to use him, and they'll plug him in and give him some things to do.
NFL True and False, sponsored by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Steve, more callers chiming in. They love your idea of the hockey football doubleheader weekend. Here's Greg in Rochester. Greg, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Sure. Good.
Good. I'm a season ticket holder that drives in from Rochester, and I would like to see the Bills and Sabres do more home games, Sabres on Saturday night and Bills on Sunday. It happens occasionally, but not enough.
Right. Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, it's hard to do because the leagues are independent of one another, and right up until now, it's just a little bit of serendipity that it happens. Although I think the Sabres, with their stadium situation, and obviously the Bills with theirs, they have, you know, they can have the games if they get any leeway at all as to when to schedule us. They can. You know, say, listen, we can't have it at Sunday at 1 at the Sabres, but we can have it Sunday at 7 p.m. when the Bills have a 1 o'clock game, or a Saturday or Friday game when the Bills have a Sunday at 1 o'clock
game. Sabres used to have a ton of Sunday night games, like right. Not that long ago. That was their night. Sundays was their big night.
I remember their
doubleheader,
the
ultimate doubleheader. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those happening.
Would you do that, Greg? Would you come in and go to a Bills game and then go to the Sabres that night, same day?
Well, I would prefer to come in on Saturday for the Sabres game and then do the Sunday Bills game, then head home.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think you spread it out a little bit so you can kind of gear up. And I think it's better for the restaurants and local businesses as well, because then, you know, people got to hang out a little bit and you're not just going from one parking lot to the next and getting into the game.
I'm just thinking you should let the Sabres know how you feel, although – Yeah, the Sabres. They, you know, their attendance was kind of iffy. They might say, "Well, what time would you like us to play?"
Listen, it was a rough year, no question about it.
How many games did you wind up going to?
I think we have season tickets, right, and we share them with people. I think we had 15.
Did you go to 15 games?
I think so.
Good for you.
Well, we used them. We used all the tickets. We didn't get rid of any of them.
Okay.
If I went, it was because, you know, My son and I share our tick, too, and he'll take his wife, I'll take mine, but so I don't go to those games.
Got another call. Is this Greg in Rochester as well? Greg, is that you?
Yes.
Back-to-back calls, Greg in Rochester. Sorry.
There you go.
Yeah, weird.
I wonder if anybody has talked about, like, within the Bills and Sabres, you know, the Pagulas and their management team about, like, you know, I guess we're going to be getting a new football stadium, right?
Well, maybe. There's talk about it, sure.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with this one.
Yeah, if that happens, though, I'm wondering if there's room, like, near the hockey arena to put, like, both venues, like, in close proximity.
Oh, yeah, there's room.
Like, kind of like what the Patriots do, you know, they got their stadium, and then they got, you know, big shopping mall. And
yeah, but they don't have their arena. The arena is, what, 35 miles away in downtown Boston.
They had two stadiums. There are two venues.
Right, it makes a lot of sense, because then you could share parking. You wouldn't have to have.
He said he's been to that. He doesn't even like football, but he goes up there because the restaurants and the shopping. And I don't know. I just thought that would be sort of a neat thing down on the water. You know?
Yeah, I mean, there's discussions about that. Some people think that's the way it'll go.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense, because then you could, like I said, you could share parking spots, and you wouldn't have to eat up acreage just with open parking lots at both venues. And, you know, go down to Bills at New Era Stadium. New Era Field, and there's like acres and acres and acres of parking lots, and if you had the arena right there, you know, you wouldn't have to add acres and acres of parking lots downtown when you've already got enough. You got 20,000 spot seats in the arena. You've got enough parking for that. You just had to add a little bit more parking for the Bills games, and so I, you know, depending on where they put the stadium. So, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. It would make, you know, a lot of people really happy to have both those stadiums downtown in Buffalo. It makes a lot of sense. But who knows when that's going to happen? I mean, it could be a decade away or two decades away, for all I know.
Hey, here's an interesting tweet that goes to your comment. I just want to read your proposal about, you know, road games, Buffalo, Sabres, and Bills. Jerry tweeted in, "I went to Detroit the day after the October storm in 2006 and watched the Sabres beat the Red Wings on Friday night. and the Bills lose to the Lions on Sunday. Despite the Bills' loss, it was a great weekend. I was golfing Saturday while everyone in Buffalo was digging out of the snow. I remember that. Right?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, the Sabres played Friday night in Detroit. Well, the storm was here then, right? The storm hit here like, I want to say Friday, right? Wasn't it Friday? And then the Bills got out of town and went and played the Lions on Sunday.
There you go.
All right, a break. We're back with more in a moment. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Is presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. A couple of good guests on the show today. Greg Cosell, executive producer and analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN. We went through the Bills draft picks with him and Greg Cosell. We asked him about Buffalo's third round draft pick, defensive tackle Harrison Phillips from Stanford. Here's what he said.
He's an excellent inside run defender. He's not a sub package player, but he has really, really strong hands. And his game is built on that. He's got great balance, great body control. He's a little quicker in the short area than you might think. You know, he's not a great athlete in the sense that he's going to run down people. I think that given the kind of guy he is, and I saw him speak at the podium at the Combine, and there's not a more impressive guy than Harrison Phillips. And his, you know, what I always describe as playing personality, meaning his effort, his intensity, his approach. You can see that.
Greg Cosell on Bill's third-round draft pick, Harrison Phillips. We also talked with Bill's seventh-round draft pick, Austin Prohl, the wide receiver from North Carolina. His father, Ricky Prohl, played 17 years in the National Football League, and we asked Austin Prohl how his dad helped him prepare for the draft in the NFL.
You know, leading up to it, it was obviously a long process, but it was one of the things where he just prepared me for it. You know, he told me that there's a lot of things that happen that, you know, a lot of teams don't have control of, from trades and stuff like that. And I knew going into it that that's how it was. And, you know, you never really know how it's going to go. So, you know, going in, you kind of have to have an open mind about it, and that's what I did. And obviously, just, you know, my faith and trusting God that helped me land in the right spot. And I feel like he did that. And I'm obviously happy to be a Buffalo Bill and can't wait to get up there and go to work. And, you know, the past week and a half just continued with my workout plan and continued to stay with everything I've been doing more conditioning and stuff. Get ready for rookie minicamp come Thursday.
Austin Prohl talking about how his dad helped him. I was thinking during the interview, and again, just again, you were kind of in that position with your son Luke, right, playing in Canada.
Yeah, and there's only so much you can do because there's so many things you just don't know, which teams are interested and where it goes. But you just, you know, you try to make good, solid decisions and know that wherever you go, you're going to get a chance to play, because they don't just give draft positions to guys who they don't think can actually make their team. And for whatever reason, Austin Prohl fell to the Buffalo Bills. I mean, he's 255th player taken. So you kind of get to the feeling where you're like, gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be taken at all. Where am I going to go? Then you do get a pick. But getting drafted is better because that team's got in something invested in you, and they're going to give you an opportunity to be successful.
Hey, on Twitter today, we took a little Twitter poll. The schedule is out, obviously, for the last month or so, and tickets, individual game tickets, are on sale tomorrow at noon, on sale now for those who have the MyOne Buffalo app. On our Twitter poll, which Bills home game would you most like to see and why? I guess it, understandably, 57%, more than half, said the Monday night game against the Patriots. 22% said the home opener against the Chargers. 15% said the playoff rematch with the Jaguars. 6% had somebody. The only other game I thought you might, I might be able to make an argument for, Steve, would be the home finale, regular season finale. Dolphins, December 30th, the holidays. Dolphins coming up here, hopefully in a snowstorm, and maybe a game that has some implications as far as who's making the playoffs. I could make an argument for that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Then again, if you know, if the weather conditions are horrible and both teams are out of the playoffs, it's the last place you want to be.
But, you're right. But that could happen, too.
That could happen, too. I kind of don't think that'll happen. I think those Miami games, with all the weight that's adjusted to the division games and the, like, five of the six division games. Am I right? I can't remember exactly. There's a ton of division games for the Bills in the last five. It's Miami, the Jets, yeah. New England, and Miami. So four of the six games, they're right there. So it could mean something.
Hey, we got to go. We got Marshall Newhouse on the show tomorrow. Make sure you tune in for that. Production assistants George Blast, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, and James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. See you tomorrow at noon with One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.